high desert in the great American Southwest.
I would like to bid you good evening, good morning, as the case may be across this great land of ours. From the Tahitian and Hawaiian island chains in the west, eastward across flyover country to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, south into South America, north all the way to the pole, and worldwide on the internet, this is Coast to Coast AM, and I'm Art Bell. Good morning. Great to be here. It's going to be open lines again tonight, then tomorrow night, and I know a lot of you have been waiting for this, Wayne Greene. 73 Magazine's Wayne Greene. He is an absolutely fascinating character, and you will enjoy him. From ham radio to health to aliens to you name it, we'll talk about it tomorrow night with Wayne Greene. He is full of all kinds of energy on all kinds of subjects, and he's a lot of fun. You're not going to want to miss that. Recalling for you that on the 30th, we're going to have a Major Ed Danes, who is a remote viewer, has been in Hawaii, has a major announcement, he says, that he wants to break on this program. So that's coming up. And then on the 28th, I've got Scott, and I'm going to have a tough time with his last name, Hortzlein, I believe it is, who has testified in front of the U.S. Senate and the NRC about nuclear safety, and actually not about nuclear safety, about the fact that he thought Three Mile Island was sabotage, and about exactly how much bomb-grade material is actually out there, cobalt-60 barium. You know, he says that this last Thursday they intercepted 1 ton. I said a ton of cobalt-60 barium going from the U.S. to Mexico, from the U.S. to Mexico. So we'll talk with him on the 28th. And I am also booking a, or at least I believe I'm going to, he's in the middle of talking to his parishioners about it, a priest who is convinced that UFOs, including, by the way, an experience that he had, of course, are demonic and are part of, and he agrees with, what I call the quickening. However, he believes that it's the end times. Same scenario, different name. I think you'll be amazed. Now, the U.S. House made history Tuesday, quietly and in a restrained manner, by voting to reprimand Speaker Newt Gingrich and fine him $300,000 for ethics violations. Question now is where he gets the money. Will he be able to dip into his campaign funds left over to pay the fine? Or should he pay it out of his own pocket? Now, if you donated or had donated to the Newt Gingrich reelection campaign, and he used that money to pay his fine, would you be unhappy? Or would you think your money was going to good use? Not a lot of other news. The teen sweethearts accused of murder are out on $300,000 bail each. Amy Grossberg and Brian Peterson released Tuesday, but remain under house arrest. Yeltsin is in more trouble. He's fighting to regain his health, and he may soon find himself fighting to keep his job. Russia's lower house of parliament Wednesday will discuss whether Yeltsin can be forced to step down because he is ill. Interesting, I wonder who would take over and what they would be all about. The shuttle Atlantis is due to touch down at about 7:47 a.m. Eastern Time. Now, that could be interesting. And I would like to know, if anybody out there knows, what the path is going to be. That means 4:47 Pacific. And earlier than that, see it pass this Pacific area. So sometimes when the shuttle comes back, it puts on a whale of a show. Parents who think their kids are, or might be, using drugs now have a new way to test their suspicions. Now, is it moral? Is it ethical? In other words, you can hand your kid a little urine collection sample holder and say, here, go fill this, and send it in to a government-approved testing center. There they will pour over it to try to find marijuana, PCP, speed, cocaine, heroin, codeine, and morphine. And if they find it, presumably they report that back to you, and you get to deal with it the way you want. Is it ethical? Is it proper? Could you really ask your child with a straight face to do it? Would it be embarrassing for you, for them? Would it be an invasion of privacy? Well, no, because they're kids. So what do you think of the idea of home testing? I was shocked to learn that here in the Pahrump Valley, we had a 3.9 earthquake Friday morning. I never felt a thing, not one thing. But we did have one, so I guess we must have a fault here someplace. This is interesting. Initial results of a survey of 1,200 veterans conducted by Democratic Senator Donald Riegel of Michigan indicate that Gulf War syndrome may be contagious. According to the senator's office, 78% of Gulf War veteran spouses, 25% of the children born before the Gulf War, and 65% born since, show symptoms of the mysterious disease. Wow. 78% of the spouses? According to a spokesman for Senator Riegel, the survey demonstrates that Gulf War syndrome is transmissible, and it rules out some of the possible causes. It is not post-traumatic stress. It's got to be some kind of viral or bacterial infection. Our focus is on chemical or biological agents. So again, more evidence that what Nurse Riley has been saying is exactly right. Now, I'm not an expert on chemical warfare, but I believe that chemical exposure is not transmissible. Therefore, that would indicate, so would this survey, that we've got something on our hands here in the country now brought back that is not just the Gulf War vets, but potentially everybody. And as there are divorces and remarriages and various mixtures of all sorts that we all know go on, it may spread and spread and spread. And somebody out there who had not a thing to do with the Gulf War other than reading the headlines and watching it on CNN may find themselves down with something they have no idea how to cure, nor any idea what it is. Anyway, open lines tonight, folks. Anything that is on your mind is fair game, and then, as I said, tomorrow night we will switch gears, and I think you will really, really enjoy Wayne Greene, particularly if you've never heard him, or if you have, you know what you're in for. Okay. To the phones, west of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello. I was wondering, do you have any...
Hey, turn your radio off, please. We'll wait while you turn that radio off.
It's on my phone. Let me switch phones, okay?
All right. The radio is on her phone. Interesting. It's a radio, clearly. Well, we'll just hold on for a second here. And okay, are you there? You know, I guess she can't get it together. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art.
Hi.
This deal about Newt Gingrich?
Yes.
$300,000?
$300,000.
They should make sure that it comes out of his own personal fund.
You think he ought to pay it himself?
Yep. Because, you know, he's getting fined, not his campaign fund. So it should come out of his own personal fund. And somehow make sure that his campaign fund doesn't get that.
All right, sir. Well, here is somebody's top 10 list of places where you can get the money. 10. Donate simply 10,000 pints of plasma at the D.C. Blood Bank. Masquerade as a cameraman photographing Dennis Rodman at the Chicago Bulls basketball games. Junket to three generous Buddhist temples a la Al Gore. Open after-hours lemonade stand at these in the seedier parts of D.C. Remote view Wednesday night's Powerball numbers. Now, that's good. Audition for Leprina spokesman. When the U.S. Speaker gets his hands caught in the cookie jar, he reaches for Leprina. Open up the Treasury printing presses. Set up three-card Monte racket in the Capitol Building rotunda. Or start 1-900-number service. The naughty pages of Congress. And finally, take the Hillary Rodham crash course in Arkansas Realty Development and Cattle Futures. Thank you, Mark. $300,000 easily by any of those methods. Wildcard line, you're on the air.
Well, good morning to Art.
Well, good morning to you. Hello, Fritz.
Well, I'm very proud of you that you straightened out this remote viewing disaster with Hal Bob. And, you did a pretty good job, I would say. You thrashed Courtney Brown. He deserves it. And anybody who bought his book, Cosmic Voyager, just throw it in the trash can.
Fritz?
Yes?
If any trashing was done, Courtney Brown trashed himself.
Well, I would go along with that, yes. But like you said, the buck stops with him. And
by the way, he has put a statement up, which we have linked to on our webpage, explaining everything. So if you want to read Courtney's latest statement.
I'm afraid there's too much damage done on remote viewing. It will take years before it will ever come out again the way it was supposed to be presented. But he trapped himself with his own fantasy. And I would say also, Ed Thames, if you're listening, walk very carefully because he made a lot of mistakes too, Ed Thames. Of course, the people out there really don't realize what is being said when we're talking ancient civilization down in New Mexico, what was supposed to be discovered in 93 by August. And Ed Thames said, quote, if we don't have them by the August, end of August, we're going to go out at a UFO game. Well, Ed Thames, if you're listening, I hope you get out of your UFO game because too many mistakes were made. The arena is too full with charlatans and suits here. We need somebody respectable in the field.
Well, it's hard to even declare it, thank you, Fritz, a respectable field. It doesn't mean for one second that I'm going to stop looking into it. I'm not. You see, once you've had an experience, as I have had, once you have really, really seen something close up, it will change you. Now, look, I didn't see something until I was almost 50, and I'm 51. But I saw it, folks, close up, real as a heart attack. And so I know there's something there. I don't know what it is, but I know there is something to all this. It's not all baloney. If some of it is, then that is to be expected because we're dealing with something, as I say in Dreamland, that you can't quite fit into a neat little box. not all the proof is there, and there's going to be a lot of sifting that you've got to do, but make no mistake about it. There is something out there. I saw it. You may. You may have seen one. You may not ever see one. I don't know. But there is something there. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hey, Eric. How's it going?
It's going.
That's good. I have a couple things for you. First of all, ways back, you know those little FM transmitters you were selling?
Yes.
I've got one of those.
Pretty neat, huh?
Oh, well, yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. But I was wondering if there's any way, since you know a lot about radio, to amplify the transmission of that.
Yes. But if I were to give you that information, I would be in violation of the FCC's laws.
Well, could you give me the name of a book that time?
Regulations, actually. No, I mean, this, look, let me put it to you this way, all right?
All right.
This is not a question you should be asking me on the air. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, let me ask you one, since you've asked me one. Suppose you had more power. Suppose you could transmit a mile, 2 miles, 5 miles, 10 miles.
Mm-hmm.
How far would you want to go?
Actually, furthest I'd want to go is probably about a quarter of a mile.
Quarter of a mile.
See, what I'd do is I'd put it in my car.
Oh, in your car?
See, that way.
I get the picture. So you can be a mobile pirate station, huh?
No, what I do, is I put it on the radio station I don't like. And then when these people come by blasting their music on the station I don't like, you know, it gets overridden by my music.
Uh-huh.
Anyway.
So in other words, when a ghetto blaster type vehicle pulls up next to you with some heart-pounding, throbbing, who knows what, you simply zoom in, blot out their music, and play your own.
Yeah.
Well, you're an original thinker, sir. And if you'll contact me privately, I might just have to help you out.
All right.
All right?
Thank you much.
Thank you very much for calling. There's an original idea. The old thumping, rapping music pulls up next to you at about 100 decibels. And you simply reach over, click the on switch, tune it, until you instead hear the opera music suddenly coming from their 100 decibel throbbing speakers. God, there is justice in the world, isn't there? Let's break here. You're listening to the American CBC Radio Network. Open lines. Wild card line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yeah, Art, this is Steve in Tempe.
Tempe, Arizona.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Steve.
I think that you are the best, and this show is the finest show on the air.
I appreciate that.
Of all time.
Well, that's great. Thank you, and you have your radio on, don't you?
Yes, but it is not on to the show.
Oh, I see. So you're calling me up to tell me my show is best, but you're listening to somebody else.
Well, that's only because I don't get this show until after.
Oh, I see. Until after midnight, huh?
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate the kind words. And I do understand. You'd be getting it at midnight. All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, hi. It's Gary.
Hi, Gary.
Twin Cities.
Yes, sir.
How you doing tonight?
I'm fine.
Reason for the call, I'm not a long-time listener of yours, but I recently found you because I watched a show called Strange Universe.
Oh, yes.
And just the other night I saw another episode of it, and they were talking about this place called the Mystery Spot, and it was in, I believe, someplace in California, Santa Cruz or another. It's like an anti-gravity area.
There are anomalous areas on Earth, magnetic anomaly areas. Some call them vortexes, whatever you want to call them, areas of magnetic disruption.
Right on. Well, they were talking about different types of a pyramid that was buried underneath it, and this, like, supercomputer that was, this guy was all whacked out, and I'd never heard of that guy before, and I was just curious if you'd happen to have seen that episode or some of the other listeners maybe have happened to caught it and knew who he was.
No, actually, I didn't see the episode, but he sounds like my kind of guy. Maybe I'll give, you know, I know the people over there, obviously, so I'll give him a call and see who it is.
Hey, thanks a lot.
All right, thank you, sir. Take care. That was kind of fun, what we did on the Strange Universe. They want me to do another Dark Skies. You know, I just grew my mustache back. It just now really got to the point where, you know, I got to trim it once and I got it right back where it should be. And, of course, I would come back again as William Paley in an episode coming up. This time they say two scenes. I would be in two scenes. But it, of course, would require shaving my mustache again. And I don't know about that. We'll see. I felt, you know, those guys know about this. I mean, if you have some kind of facial hair, mustache, or beard, I just have a mustache, but you feel so utterly naked without it. And I had not shaved it in all those years, and face having to shave it again, I don't know. Wildcard Lawton, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. So I was kind of puzzled about something with this Courtney Brown situation.
Yes.
I know when Oliver Hynot was on, he was saying that the cell size of his pictures from University of Hawaii were the same as Courtney Brown's pictures that you put up on the web.
Yes.
And I realized yesterday what the situation probably was, because if you go through a photographic film, you know, he's going to put it on, somebody's going to put it on film, and somebody else is going to take it off film, and the probability of getting the same resolution back off is tremendously small.
All right, sir.
Yes.
Here's, unless that is, you happen to pull the photograph off the website. But that issue completely aside, that photograph had to be taken from Hawaii.
I know.
Within minutes of when it was taken. That photograph, without any ability to argue, is the same photograph as the one that I received from Courtney Brown.
I know, but here's the second point. Here's my big point. What I'm really going to get to is saying that this was never went through the intermediary of film. This was a direct digital transmission from the original digital signal from his CCD display to Courtney Brown to your website, because the reason I'm saying that is the cell size is the same on the two.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the only way that's going to happen is if you don't go through an analog intermediate stage.
Right. There's no question about it.
So this business about going through film is the part that doesn't stand up.
Mm-hmm. Well, it doesn't stand up anyway, because it was taken from Hawaii at that time.
I don't deny that it's a phony picture. All I'm saying is that it didn't even go through film.
Well, I would recommend that you read Mr. Brown's statement. We have a link to it on our webpage now. And in it, you see, when we did the show with Whitley Strieber, Courtney Brown and myself, last week, Whitley reasonably suggested that there be a private examination of the film that Courtney Brown said he had. Courtney Brown, in his statement, is refusing publicly or privately to release any of that film. So such an examination is not going to be possible. He will not pursue the examination, nor the trail of evidence with regard to any physical evidence, and that is in his statement. Now you can go read it for yourself. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello? Going once, going twice, gone. Wild card line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yeah. Evening, Art.
Good evening.
I hear you're going to have a minister on that's going to talk about how all the extraterrestrials are demons and stuff.
Yep.
Isn't that kind of counterproductive?
Nope.
Because
I will have anybody with any point of view on the program, and if you've been listening for long enough now, you should know that.
Oh yeah, I've been doing a reversal reverse speech on the conversation with Courtney Brown and all that. I know that very well.
Well, so there you are. No,
oh,
it's
yeah.
not. No, it's not counterproductive. Counter views are never counterproductive.
Oh, okay. Because, you know, I thought, you know, we were making a lot of progress as far as bringing them out into the light so everybody could see they're not this big, scary thing.
The light, sir, shines brightest when you get all sides of a question.
True.
I believe.
Okay. Yeah, right. I just kind of wondered about that, you know.
Now you know. That's the way I feel about it. I don't mind having anybody on any subject, whether or not I agree with them. If you're afraid of that, then you're not shining light. You've just got a little laser, and you're just concentrating on that which you believe and trying to back that up and not listening to anything else. Not good. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Okay, I just turned off my radio. This is Alan calling from Hawaii.
Yes, sir.
I'm calling from my cell phone. This is great to talk to 8 million people from my little sailboat.
You're on a sailboat in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Uh-huh,
I talked to you once
really
before,
tough.
But I was very nervous then. I'm a little less nervous now.
Good.
But I'm reading a book called Moonshot, and it's just a fascinating read. I was born in 60, so a lot of this was when I was a kid. And I really didn't know about it. If you could get more astronauts, Edgar Mitchell was good. It would be really fascinating to hear any kind of further interviews.
Funny thing is, they don't talk a lot about it.
Yeah.
But we'll do what we can.
Yeah, it's really very fascinating. Thanks very much. Have
All right,
night.
Sir. Take care. It seems to me I'm due to interview the author of Moonshot. I've got so much stuff sitting here. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning, Art. This is Patrick in Mesa, Arizona.
Yes, sir.
Hi. I wanted to ask you about something that I heard on your show a couple of months ago, I believe. You were talking about possibly setting up a dream database on the web or something like that?
Right.
Not
personally setting it up. We've got enough web work going on. But I thought it would be a really, really, really good idea if there was a central place where people could register their dreams, you know, some kind of short version.
Right.
So we could get an idea if we were getting mass similar dreams.
Exactly, because, and I'm sure this is common in lots of people, I have one or two particular ones that recur, not every night, but, you know, every couple of months or something. Same situation, same place, and it'd be interesting to see, you know, if others are having the same exact dream or something similar.
Exactly, and even keep, thank you, statistics. Earth change type dreams, specifically what they are. Yes, because really when you think about it, do we talk to each other about our dreams? Barely. Most of us... As a matter of fact, if we dream, unless we make a conscious effort to either write it down or sit down after you wake up and recall intentionally the details, you forget it. It's gone. You know it is within about half an hour, well after your first cup of coffee. The dream begins to fade, and by the time you pick up your first phone call or whatever you're going to do for the day, it's gone. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Aloha, I'll turn it off.
Hawaii once again.
Aloha, yes, Hawaii.
Yes.
This is Joe B. from Kauai.
How you doing?
Good. We didn't get to hear you last night because they turned the power off at 10 o'clock.
Well, they
11 o'clock. But now you're on at 9 o'clock.
Well, that's good.
Your first hour comes online because before they came on at 10 o'clock, and we had to wait till...
9 p.m. in Hawaii, huh?
Yes.
So I'm an evening show. Cool.
Evening show.
Yep.
So did you get the calendar I sent you?
What was on it?
White Cat Paint.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Oh, good. Isn't
your cat,
wild?
Your cat calendar is on our wall.
Oh, tell people about White Cat Paint. That's a whole mystery right there, you know, the suppression of their instincts.
I know. I wish I knew half of why cats do what they do, and I watch them all the time. A lot of their behavior is completely indiscernible.
Oh, they're watching those rods.
That may be.
Okay.
That may be. Thank you. They certainly see invisible things. My new cat, Comet, is becoming more sociable by the day. And he will, for no reason, jump straight up into the air. He has a lot of leg power. And he'll make a sort of a gurgling internal noise and jump straight up in the air like a pogo stick. No real reason. There's a reason, I'm sure, inside his little cat head, but from a human point of view, can't discern what it might be. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Should I turn my radio off?
Well, am I sure you turned it off?
No, I will.
Oh, I see.
Just a moment.
All right.
Is yes. this art?
Yeah, of course.
My God. I can't believe I got through to you.
You have. Trust me.
Oh.
Turn that radio off.
I did.
All right. Where are you?
Tacoma, Washington.
Okay.
I only got you, about 2 weeks ago.
Well, you got me, so what's on your mind?
Oh, all kinds. I've been listening, changing my hours, and all this kind of stuff. I have so much feedback.
Well, start feeding.
Start feeding.
Yeah, go ahead.
What do you need? What do you need?
You called me.
I called you. I like you very much.
Thank you.
I like your ideas. You've been in my head for years.
Your head?
Yeah.
Have I spoken to you privately? I mean, you just began listening, so if I've been in your head for years...
No, but your thoughts.
Oh.
Your thoughts, sir.
That would be some sort of telepathy, then.
I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try it.
Let's try it. Sure. I'm going to project a thought to you right now, all right?
Okay.
There it is.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
No?
I am just so relieved that I got through to you.
Right. Well,
I've been trying for weeks.
Well, I understand that. You are now through, so...
Thank you very much. I want to know what remote viewing is. What is it?
Listen on the 30th.
No, you tell me what it is.
No, I'm not a remote viewer.
Well, what is it?
It's the ability to see things at a distance.
Is that what Courtney Brown does?
Yes.
I don't understand that. I really...
You don't?
No.
I mean, you're the one who said you've been hearing my thoughts in your head.
Yes, I have, but I'm psychic, so whatever.
Okay, it's like being psychic, but not the same. You listen on the 30th, and you'll find out what it is. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
Hey, I used to listen to you when you were on Brand X, which was KDON.
Oh, yes, uh-huh.
I used to call in from Fortuna.
Fortuna, yes.
Long time ago. I have a question. Whatever happened to Jonathan Lear?
John Lear?
Yes.
Nothing. John's still flying, and I'm going to have him on the air again one of these days.
The first time I ever listened to you, it was an interview with him, and it was the same night that Vandenberg had launched a test missile.
Yes.
In the middle of the night. It's probably about 5 years ago. You remember that?
I do believe I do, yes.
Yeah, so I was kind of reminiscing, wondering whatever happened to him. He enlightened me that night.
Well, John is not investigating UFOs to the degree that he was. I think that John came to the conclusions he came to.
Mm-hmm.
That was for him closure.
Mm-hmm.
And if he were to come on today, which it would be fun to have him on,
right.
I don't think you would hear a very different view.
Okay.
His view is kind of dark.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't think they're good people.
Right.
And as you recall, it's his view that they want our souls and regard us as vessels.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Well, that's what he still thinks.
Okay.
All right?
All right. I can't wait until the 30th.
Ed Dames.
Yeah.
I, too, wonder what he's going to have to say. Thank you. What big announcement he might have. We'll see. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
That's me, huh?
That's
Hi,
you.
Art.
Hi.
I had two questions I wanted to ask you.
Okay.
One was about, I listened a while back, and there was that guy who had a some kind of a spirit trapped in his house, and his name was Rodney.
Yes, Rodney.
Well, I didn't hear what the follow-up was on that. What happened?
The spirit escaped and killed everybody in the house.
Are you kidding?
Yes.
No, well, then what really happened?
Well,
there was something about some guys with dark glasses showing up at his house.
Dark suits.
Yeah. What was that all about?
And he said they beat him up, and I've not been able to get hold of him since. He gave me a number to reach him, and I tried that for about a week running with no luck. So I can't get hold of him. So I don't know.
They beat up the guy that you were talking to on the radio?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Huh. Were they government guys? I guess you don't know.
Well, I don't know.
Okay, and then the other thing was about that, you know, that Courtney Brown thing?
Yes.
I didn't hear the beginning of this. I didn't hear the beginning of the show last week. Does this mean that Hail Mary does not exist?
No, actually, it does not mean that.
Oh.
Nor does it affirm that it does. What it means is that that photograph, the one claimed to be from a top 10 astronomer, was fraudulently obtained by some unknown person. From the Hawaiian website.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking that, you know, I don't know why everybody, well, you know, why you get so upset over it, though, because see, what the kind of stuff you do kind of lends itself to
always
the
possibility
of hoaxes.
No, it's always possible. But you do the best you can. I mean, in this case, we had a tenured university professor, a graduate physics student saying this was from a top 10 university astronomer, and that's fairly heavy.
Well,
and they said they had signals, and they said he was going to come forward and have a news conference.
Well, you know, when you first started talking about that photo with and there was this mysterious astronomer that you didn't know his name. When I first heard
still
that,
don't.
I had this feeling that it was all phony. It was just a kind of a
maybe you remote viewed
intuition.
It.
Yeah, maybe I did.
You know, so that was pretty heady stuff, and it was claimed physical evidence, and the claimed physical evidence turned out to be absolutely fraudulent. So what I would do if I were you is to go up, and if you didn't hear the show, read the statement on the website.
Okay, I heard part of the show. I think I heard enough to draw my own conclusions.
Oh, okay. Well,
but what was something earlier in the show tonight? You were saying that something you saw when you were almost 50. What was
oh
that?
Yes, I saw a UFO.
I mean, just
close.
Oh, really?
150 feet above my head. Both my wife and I had the experience, and you know, once you have seen it, then whatever come what may, you know there is something to all this. That was the point of that. I don't want to have to go back and describe that whole thing again. This is CBC. Once again, an earthquake in Northern California. Unknown magnitude, unknown location. If anybody out there can confirm it, come ahead. Good morning, everybody. I'm Art Bell. Open lines tonight, tomorrow night. 73 Magazine's Wayne Green will be here. He is something else. Wait till you hear that man. And a number of other shows planned for the near future. But again, tonight, open lines. Anything you want to talk about, fair game. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Well, good morning, Mr. Bell, and how are you?
Fine.
First of all, I want to congratulate you on your ratings. You deserve it.
Thank you.
I'd like to touch three subjects real quick. First one is conversion from centigrade to Fahrenheit.
Okay.
Very simple, all head math. Take your centigrade, multiply times 2, add 30. That'll give you an error factor between 0 and 100 degrees of Fahrenheit of no more than 5 degrees.
Okay.
And I can give you head math to even correct that, but no bother. And it's real close, and I've used it a lot.
All right.
The second thing is, on your sentient computer, if you're fingering the keyboard, can it sue you for computer harassment? Never mind, don't answer.
Thank you.
The third thing is on this fraudulent photo.
Yes.
My naivete at this point is in full swing. And to what end, to what purpose would somebody make a fraudulent photograph when there are already three other photographs that are genuine?
Well, one could imagine all kinds of things. One could imagine a personal agenda on the part of somebody who wants to forward the concept, use it for their own reasons. One could imagine a disinformation campaign to, in effect, get the public to forget all about whatever other evidence might exist, and certainly it has done that. One could imagine all kinds of things without knowing. That's why I want to pursue the physical evidence. And once again, let me say, Courtney Brown's statement, the one in which he says there will be no examination of physical evidence, is on my website now. It's on his, and I think we've got a link over there, so if you want to read what he has to say, go ahead. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yeah, Art.
Yes.
We bought the time machine next year. It works great.
We bought the time machine next year.
Yeah, the time machine we were discussing last night?
Yep.
We bought it next year, and it works great.
Great. Glad to hear it. Where'd you go?
We went back to here and called you to tell you about it.
And actually, you're really then from 1998.
Right.
Cool.
We waited because the price goes down.
Well, that's good.
Your ratings go up.
Well, that's good, too. So then you can tell us otherwise what will occur between now and next year.
Yeah, but we don't want to ruin anything for you, sir.
But
ratings go up, and you get a raise.
All right. Thank you very much. Too bad. God, I am so fascinated with time travel. And I mean seriously so. So if you have or know anybody who has built or is building what would classically be called a time machine, email me or write to me or call me or get a hold of me somehow, and I will pursue it. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Grant Justin. How you doing?
I'm fine.
I haven't talked to you in about 6 months.
Welcome back.
Oh, well, hey. You know, I saw you on Dark Skies, was that about a month ago?
Yes.
That didn't look anything like you.
I know.
What did they do to you?
Everything. Everything. I mean, I went through wardrobe, then I went through makeup, and they took my hair and slicked it all back and turned it gray, and my mustache was shaven, and they put makeup on and aged me because William Bailey's a little older or looked a little older, and so they completely modified me, and now they're contemplating doing it again.
Are you going to play the same part?
Yeah. If I do it, I would play the same part.
Well, this could be, your new future.
Mm.
Playing William Paley for the rest of your life.
A permanent member of MJ12.
I enjoyed the show, though.
Well, I just want everybody to remember I still have my badge, which I did post on the web, by the way.
Your badge? Is
my MJ12 badge?
Uh-huh.
You know, when I left the set, they tried to take that from me.
Yes.
And I threw my hands over my chest. I said, oh, no, you don't. This is my souvenir.
That's excellent. Hey, well, you have a good night, man.
All right, thank
I'll
you.
I'll talk to you later.
Take care. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
This is Beth from Deer Park.
Hi, Beth.
Hi, how are you?
Fine.
I love your show.
Thank you.
I listen to it as often as I can. You introduced me to Richard Hoekman.
That's true.
And I went to one of his first lectures he gave in Seattle.
Ah, yes.
And then I went to a second and a third, and he made us do the math, and I saw the pictures, and I definitely saw the things that he saw. And my husband and I, we go around and look at antique stores all the time in Seattle. We used to live there. And we found an Apollo 8 book, like the one that he talks about that you send away to Goddard Space Institute.
Sure, sure.
It has all the pictures in the back.
Yes.
It had a lot of anomalous pictures. Because they hadn't landed yet, so I don't think they were certain about some of the things that were in there. And we have some little tiny pictures that are just incredible. One of them is of Urkut, you know, the pyramid that led him to first start looking at the moon.
Yes.
Yes, the crater that has the pyramid in it.
Yes.
That photo is in this Apollo 8 book.
I'm going to look for that. I have a telescope. If it ever clears up here, it's due to rain again tomorrow.
Really?
It's unbelievable. I live in the desert, and
Yep, we have a telescope as well, and it's really a good thing to look up and down when it's the Terminator is right at half point and it's a half moon.
Sure.
If you go up and down the Terminator,
right,
that's when you can really see a lot of anomalies because the light shines in the dark part where it's not supposed to.
Exactly.
Yes, it's incredible stuff.
Right. It's good enough that with the, thank you, the best lens, I can look down into craters. It's really cool. That is, if the sky will ever clear. Now, there was one clear day, and I'll tell you what, when it cleared, it was cold. Ooh, it was cold outside. Nevertheless, I trudged outside with my telescope, and it was amazing. But, I mean, just to have normal, good, clear desert skies would be really a treat. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, sir. Just one second. Let me get my radio.
All right.
Okay. I've been trying to call you, and it's hard to get through. And when the phone does ring, it's just the luck of the draw.
Right. All right, so you're on the air now.
A while back, you were talking about spirits and stuff, and you asked, I believe you asked, if anybody had ever seen something levitate or raise.
Right.
I did. I was 13 years old at the time. Almost 14. And we moved into an apartment. That's a house that was converted into an apartment, two different apartments.
Mm-hmm.
And one Saturday morning, coming out of the bathroom through the kitchen, and we had this big, ugly ashtray at the coffee table.
Big, ugly ashtray.
One of these, you know, it was 1973.
Yeah.
And it kind of lifted up a little bit, slid over the edge, held there no more than a second to hit the floor. Well, my sisters were sitting in front of the TV watching the cartoons, and Mom gets up a little later and comes out and says, "Who broke the ashtray?" Well, our response was, "We didn't do it."
Hey, I didn't do that.
Pardon?
I said, "Hey, I didn't do that. I remember that. There were three of us. I had two sisters. It was always, who did it? Well, I didn't do it.
Well,
I didn't do it. All right, we'll have to punish you all.
We were talking about this just, about a week ago. And she said that the thing that really got her attention was that we all said we didn't do it. But there had been strange things going on in the house. You know, things disappearing, the coffee pot being plugged in the middle of the night, and noises, doors opening and stuff. But we all figured, hey, it's an old house. And then one evening we're sitting there in the living room talking, and we see it. It came off the front porch area. It was a white mist about four and a half feet tall, kind of chubby. It was the first time we'd seen the thing.
Ghost of a fat person.
Yeah, it was, yeah, chunky. It was like a steam or a mist.
Uh-huh.
It was just, mischievous. Heck, we all liked it. We nicknamed it Sam, for lack of a better name. And it did its practical jokes and stuff, and we kind of all accepted it and loved it. And a few years later, we moved. And it moved with us.
Well, all I can say is that I hope that if I die and I remain here as a spirit or a poltergeist, that I am not reduced to an eternity of at best playing practical jokes on people. Much as I may enjoy them in this life, doing it for eternity, plugging in coffee pots in the middle of the night or something, for grins, for eternity, is not my idea of real fun. But, of course, maybe that's the ultimate punishment for a practical joker in this life. Cosmic justice. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
Hey, Art, you said you like to get two sides of the story, right?
Yep.
Now, this alien abduction, they say like thousands of people get abducted every year and stuff like that.
Some say that, yes.
Yeah, well, I saw a program where researchers suggest that when the earthquakes happen.
Yes.
That it releases like some kind of energy, and that's what's doing all the abductions.
Well, I don't think there's any question about energy being released in an earthquake.
Right. Well, he says that the electromagnetic energy makes them hallucinate that.
Really?
Yeah. Now, when you get like Travis Walton, I would imagine that something like that happened, where you see a ship come down and it snags somebody.
Well, there were how many? Let's see. I interviewed him.
Yeah.
And mine.
Something like that's probably, you know, but that's rare, you know. That doesn't happen every day, you know, people getting snatched out of their beds, you know.
Yeah, but it only takes one. Well, he was snatched out of the woods, sir. But it only takes one real one to make it real.
Not necessarily, because these other people, see, they put somebody in a room and they put this electromagnetic activity thing on their head, and they saw things, they felt things tugging at them when they knew that there was nobody in the room.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, that sounds more scientifically explainable that way, you know?
Well, again, if one is real, though, if Travis Walton was abducted and there were many witnesses, two sets of lie detector tests, I mean...
Yeah.
How much?
No, I'm not debating that that wasn't real. I'm just saying that these other people...
Oh, okay, but what I'm saying is... I understand. No, I understand what you're saying. You're saying that a lot of them may be attributed to other things, and I think you're exactly right. But if one or five or 10 or 100 out of thousands are real, then there is something real going on, was, I guess, my point. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hello, yes.
I don't believe it. This is amazing. Okay. The first thing is you should speak to Seekring Company about getting a product that has automatic dialing that you can purchase.
We have it.
Really?
Of course.
There's an item I can get that I can set with my phone to automatic dial.
Yes.
Okay. I'd like to order one of those.
Well, I don't take orders. You'll have to call 1-800-522-8863.
Okay, that's not the reason why I was calling you.
All right.
Woo! Okay, I have one question about these two photographs, one from the Hawaiian guy and one from Courtney Brown.
All right.
What were the differences?
None.
So the one in Hawaii had...
Well, I mean, when I say no difference, I mean, to explain for the umpteenth millionth time, the Hawaiian photograph, in order to make it exactly the same, all you had to do was crop it out. In other words, cut out the exact same size section, turn it right 90 degrees, and then you can lay them right over each other. They're
exactly the same.
Yeah, yeah.
But I never saw the Courtney Brown one or the one that you had. Did that have the anomaly on it?
It's on my webpage. Go look.
So so that was added to the photograph.
Yes.
So that's what you're calling fraudulence?
Yes.
It was added?
Yes.
Okay. Then based upon that, I have only one observation.
What's that?
That is, if you go back and listen to the interview that you aired, that Courtney Brown played, that left on your answering machine.
Yes.
The word that came up the most in that conversation, in his mind, was the term ratings.
And credibility.
He was after ratings.
He was worried about, he said, my ratings and my credibility. If you recall, he said, if you release this, you will not get the benefit you think you will, whatever that is, and your credibility will suffer, and you will get good ratings if you don't release it, that kind of thing.
Yes, I understand. In the way I interpreted what he was saying, he was a man, in my opinion, that was looking for ratings or had a concern about...
Well, them. He doesn't get ratings.
Well, okay, fine. But when you talk about your viewing audience has to go through a processing of this...
I have a listening audience.
A listening audience.
All right.
I believe I have, and I believe that Courtney Brown is disingenuous, that's all. And I think that when you get close to this kind of stuff that you're getting into... you're playing with a power that is beyond our belief system. And people get kind of funny when they get around this kind of information. Mm-hmm. And you have to be a certain type of person to be able to receive this kind of information and not allow it to change you or entice you into other things. And it's very, very difficult. You're dealing with highly spiritual matters. You're trying to...
Not in this case.
I understand.
In this case, we're dealing with highly physical matters.
Yes, but when you play with science and religion and you put them together, when these books that I got tonight, Psychic Warrior, you know, and they're all out on the shelves, everyone is trying to figure out what is this power. and what is this thing?
Mm-hmm.
And these scientific evidences of it, like remote viewing, are things that are very verifiable, but they're still not the experience. So you follow what I'm saying?
No.
You're not following the idea that what you're all trying to understand is something that's completely out of the mind and completely out of the intellect. My question to you would be, do you believe in a God?
Yes.
But what God is that?
What God is that?
Yes.
The Creator.
The Creator. And it's in a form of concepts and ideas. But the experience of the God is the power of what could be Jesus healing people, or Buddha, or Krishna, or anyone, or Moses. Do you believe that Moses put his staff down and turned it into a snake?
I'm not sure.
Right. Well, this is the kind of... You're not sure because it doesn't fit into your belief system. And bringing the conscious... Like 40 years ago, if you ask somebody if they believed in a UFO, they'd probably say no. But today, 40 years later, if you ask someone if they believe in UFOs, they're crazy if they don't. The consciousness of our world is raising up to understand and comprehend the Creator. And we, along the way, are trying to figure out with our minds. But when we go a little too far, things like that happened with Courtney Brown, I don't know if someone...
No, you see, that's where I differ and I don't understand. What occurred with Courtney Brown, the remote viewing aspect of it totally aside, there's a great deal of physical evidence. There's a fraudulent picture. And there's a refusal on his part to examine or to allow any physical evidence that he now still claims to have to be examined. Well... that there's nothing hard to understand about that for me. Not any of it. I'm Art Bell, and this is CBC.
This is TRN and CBC, Talk Radio Network and Chancellor Broadcasting Company, home of Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Hi, this is Art Bell. I have absolutely no idea what my program is all about. I never do. Night to night, it's whatever's hot. That's what we do, whatever's going on during the day, or whatever we can cook up. It's fun, though, and it's right here.
CBC, Chancellor Broadcasting Company. For the strange and unusual, it's Greenland with Art Bell.
What do we discuss on Greenland? Two fascinating areas. Is there life after death, and are we alone in the universe? Two ultimate questions mankind's been trying to answer for thousands of years. We'll be talking about it this week, right here on Greenland.
Toll-free, west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255, 1-800-618-8255, east of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033, 1-800-825-5033. This is the CBC Radio Network.
Well, we're having a little swarm of earthquakes, one earlier in my valley here in Pahrump, Nevada. Apparently one centered between Denver and Colorado Springs at about 3.4. And some time ago, 11/20/25, probably about a 4.0 somewhere near Eureka. So we continue to monitor. The 23rd should be an interesting day. In a moment, back to the line. All right, east of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
This is Floyd from St. Louis again.
Yes.
I called you about a week or so ago.
Yes, sir.
On the comment the one guy made about alien abductions and the earthquakes. I heard a long time ago that UFOs come in under the guise of storms. So why couldn't it be with the abductions that they come in under the guise of earthquakes?
I don't understand what you mean. UFOs coming in under the guise of earthquakes?
Yeah, under the skies.
Well, if you were having UFO sightings every time you had an earthquake, or nearly every time, or even most of the time, then you might make that leap.
I got a comment and a question to ask. Another comment, I should say.
Yes.
Okay, on, the guy from the Farsight Institute, my mind just slipped. My opinion is that he's under duress of some kind. That's my feeling towards it.
You're referring to Courtney Brown?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm sure he is under duress. I would agree. I would agree with that.
I mean, maybe a little bit more duress than you know, maybe you think. Maybe death threats by people in three-piece suits and sunglasses type deal.
Well, you can imagine anything you like, sir.
Yeah, I just caught that. It's like, last couple of days been listening.
I appreciate your call. Look, I've had death threats for well over a decade, and I'm used to it. Maybe he's not. Maybe he did get some. Who knows? But after a while, you just deal with it. You know, somebody's going to kill you, they're going to kill you. You can get to them first. You prepare yourself to do that and defend yourself the best you can. And, you know, life goes on. Either that or you make a decision to cower in a corner somewhere. That's all. And if somebody's going to come after you, they're going to come after you. Getting you, that's a different story if you're ready. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi. Going once, going twice, gone. Wildcard line, make that first-time caller line. You're on the air.
Hey, Art. How's it going?
Okay.
That's great. This is Dave from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Hi, Dave.
Yeah, I'd like to say hi to my brother, Matt. He works the web link. I got basically three predictions for you.
All right.
One is basically that you're being set up more or less to knock your credibility down. I'm sure you're kind of aware of that.
No.
Well, yeah, you are.
How so?
Well, I guess the people that you bring into the your radio show more or less try to boost you up and then knock you down.
Well, look, that's the way life goes. You're up and you're down.
Yeah, well, see, you're more like a teacher. You're teaching people new things, and I hate to see you get, booted out.
Which
I don't think it's going to happen, but...
Not to worry. As long as I'm honest, I don't have a thing to worry about.
Yeah, well, that's true, you are. The other thing is, did you get my email? It's
Well,
a
since
living
I
dream.
Don't... I beg your pardon?
It was about a living dream.
A living dream?
Yeah.
Not that I recall.
Well, this is a message for you and your listeners. It's basically, don't worry. Things are going to be fine.
Don't worry, be happy.
Well, no, don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, things are going to be fine. You know, some of the people you get, it's like gloom and doomers. And this is more or less to tell you people.
Don't worry, be happy. I got it.
Don't worry. Things are going to work out. And I asked this person again, and this person said, yes, things will work out.
How do you know they're right?
Well, I don't know if you ever had a living dream. It's not a common dream. It's a dream that's, it's like talking to you right now. It's coherent, it's comprehensive, it's an intelligent dream. It's not your common dream that you have. It's
mm-hmm.
where you basically talk to, like you and I.
Who do you think you talked to?
A higher power, God, you can say.
How do you know it wasn't a lower power fooling you?
No, it wasn't, because off in the background was the Golden City. And that was reassuring me that...
Golden City was in the background, huh?
Yeah, Golden City.
Okay.
That's, I'm sure you know what that is.
Heaven?
Yeah, heaven.
Heaven. So you were talking to God with heaven in the, as a backdrop.
Well, yeah, you could say it was God. He's all just right. Reassuring me, reassuring everybody else that things will work out. You know, it's, you don't have to, you know, panic. You know, people are panicking.
I'm not panicked.
No, other people are panicking. Some of the people I listen to, they're basically panicking.
Why?
They're worried.
Why? I mean, what's going to happen is going to happen, right?
No, it's not going to.
You mean nothing's going to happen?
Days.
It would be a very boring world if nothing happened.
No, not that kind of nothing. It's going to be a better world. Just that we have to be patient. We're all worried about things are getting bent out of shape, which it's going to get worse before it gets better, but eventually it will get better.
I see. Well, I would agree with that. It's going to get worse before it's going to get better. By the way, the current landing ground track per NASA on orbit 159, oh, you lucky people, is going to be Vancouver, B.C. It's going to come, the shuttle, if it lands on schedule, is going to come right over Vancouver, B.C., cross over the Great Lakes, and then orbit 160 passes more or less directly over Vancouver, B.C., with a less shallow arc over the U.S. or central U.S. So, you guys up north may have quite a show. I wonder if you've got clear skies in Vancouver. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
All right, let me turn my radio down. All right, this is Curtis from San Diego.
Yes, sir.
Could it have been Dr. Brown himself that did these pictures, made them phony? I'm thinking that because
I wouldn't. My feeling, if you're really asking me honestly, is no. Dr. Brown is not. He knows about computers, but not a lot. I don't think it would have been Dr. Brown, to answer you honestly.
Or possibly him being involved, and then he saw that it wasn't going to go right, so he got out of it. Something like that.
Yeah, I don't have that answer. I mean, that's speculation. I don't know.
All right, then. We'll see you.
Okay, bye. See you later. Aren't a meteor or something big, glowing and low in the sky, just shot by my window? It was 1:05, and the wind kicked up, and just as I glanced out my bedroom window, I saw this big, glowing something go shooting low through the sky. It was like seeing something the size of a baseball, but it was not round. I couldn't see any sharp edges or shape, but it was amazing. That's from Lafayette, Colorado. Anybody else see it? West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Is this Art Bell?
Yes.
Oh, man. I've been calling forever. I got a couple of questions. One was about, I think it was yesterday, about your super glue thing on your hand.
Oh, yes.
The thing I think it is the fumes, in my opinion. Because every time I try to mess with the super glue, it gets on my hands, too.
Yeah. It's impossible not to.
Right.
It's like it grows on you.
Exactly. The thing was, I just moved here to Medford, Oregon.
Uh-huh.
And when a friend told me about the show, so I listened, and it was with the guy, I think it was Stephen Gibbs.
Yes.
Okay. And one of the questions was for that, but one is I'm from Dallas, and I'm going to move back to Dallas, and I was wondering what radio station would I get you in Dallas?
Cliff.
And what channel would that be?
KLIF in Dallas. I'm taking a second here to look and find out. Let me see. Cliff in Dallas would be 570 on the AM dial.
570. Okay.
All right.
The thing about Stephen Gibbs, I was remember he was saying to get it. Now this before I ask the question. Now it's not battery operated, the time machine, right?
No.
He said you plug it in the wall.
That's right.
Okay. Now he said to find a grid, you got to find a grid point if you want to travel in time.
That's right.
Okay. Remember, you recalled saying, what if you want to travel back to, I think it was 1500.
Right.
And there was a castle there.
Right.
And he said that the grid point would move.
Right.
Okay, so, because he doesn't think the grid point could take up a solid mass. Well, if it can't take up a solid mass, where are you going to plug it into the wall when you're...
Well, the answer was, and it was asked on the program, you're not. Eventually, if you have done it right, you are going to automatically come back.
What I was saying, when you start to go, you said you plug it into the wall and you program it.
Yeah.
But if you plug it in the wall, wouldn't you have to be like at your house or someplace that an object that a grid point couldn't be?
Yeah, but but you would not be immersed in some solid. And what I was concerned about when I asked the question was, when you came back in 1500 or whatever year, that you not come back in the middle of a wall or a floor,
right,
or something like that. So I presume you could be inside, but it would avoid putting you in something solid.
And another thing was on the UFOs,
yes,
about people spotting if UFOs. I've never seen one. I'm not saying that they're not out there. I believe that they are, because you're saying, like, it's just like saying everybody on Earth lives on North America. You know, none of the other continents can have life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just like happens to be Earth is the only planet in the whole solar system, and our solar system, that is, that consists of life forms. So, I mean, I'm sure that there'll be UFOs out there. Just I haven't seen one, and I would like to see one before, you know, I die. You know, I think that'll be pretty wild.
It is.
Yeah, because I heard on the radio just not too long ago you were saying that you've seen one.
Just
you
one. Yes, one.
And
but it was a real doozer. Real close up, very, very, reach out and touch it kind of close, you know. Really kind of like Close Encounters of the Third Kind, you know, with the ship pulls over you and the moon and the stars disappear and they're blanked out. That close, that big. And that will modify your thinking on the subject, I guarantee you, forever. Now, considering that I went to be almost 50 years old before I ever saw anything, I can easily imagine that a lot of people will go their entire lives and never see a thing. Never. It's odds. First-time caller line, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi. Finally got through.
Yes.
I'm just calling for probably a completely different reason than what you've been talking about.
That's just fine.
Okay. I just told my husband about this tonight, and I thought it was, you know, maybe unusual, and he suggested I call you. And do you remember the Sioux City flight that crashed?
Yes.
Back in, like, 90 or 91?
I do, yes.
Okay. I was just telling him about it. I remember I was working at another...
You're going to have to speak up. Is there someone else on your line, dear?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, you're going to have to get right into that phone and yell at us.
Okay.
That's much better. Thank
you. Okay. Anyway, I was working at a nursing home at that time.
Uh-huh.
And it was about a half hour before I was to go to work. And I just remember this depressing feeling that I had. And I had not known that the crash had, you know, or the flight had crashed at that time.
Right.
But all of a sudden, I just started crying. And I could just hear these voices screaming in my head. And I went to my room, and I just started bawling, and I just, you know, started praying because I knew that some child or children were in trouble.
Right.
And then when I got to work, I learned that you know, this city flight had crashed, and that made perfect sense to me. And there have been other things that have happened, you know, since then, premonitions, you know, these feelings. And I was just wondering if you could tell me any way that I could maybe develop this talent further or find out what it's about or what's happening here.
No, I know of no way to do that. Thank you. I have had one episode in my life of absolute precognition. No question about it. But I haven't the slightest idea how you would encourage that talent, cause it to happen again. I've always wondered about that. I didn't want it to happen. I couldn't stop it when it did, and it's never happened since, and I've tried to bring it on with absolutely zero success. So you're barking up the wrong tree. I cannot answer that. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. How are you?
Fine.
I'm calling from Honolulu, Hawaii.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I was trying to get a hold of a while back. You had a book advertised, tax and call 800 number 1-800-35 no tax, and it doesn't work from Hawaii, and I can never seem to get through. I'm wondering if you know another way to get through to these people.
No, I'm sorry, I don't. If that number does not work from Hawaii, I don't have another.
Okay. Perhaps maybe when your callers are there, you've got the book, we'll know how to get through to them.
That could be, yes, thank you. One thing you can always do, of course, is to pursue the publisher. But that is a problem. A lot of people get 800 numbers, don't include certain areas, and, you know, we cover such a big area. I understand. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi there. This is Tom in El Paso.
Hello, Tom.
Yes. You had a show a short while back where a man claimed to have a time machine.
Yes.
Are you familiar with a prism?
Yes.
And how it works?
Yes.
Well, he was talking about all sorts of things which are, to my way of thinking, hogwash.
Okay.
Yeah, he told you that he was generating tachyons, and you asked him what a tachyon was, and he said that it was a particle of pure light. Pure
well,
light
it's
light.
A theoretical particle that might travel faster than light, they believe.
Well, it's not a particle of pure white light. There is no such thing as a particle of pure white light.
Okay.
If you know what white light is, you run it through a prism, and you'll see that it's...
not white at all.
The complete spectrum.
Yes.
So it can't be pure white. A tachyon particle is a particle which travels faster than the speed of light.
Theoretically.
Well, there is such a thing.
Well, not... where was it identified? I know of no accelerator that is actually identified yet, a tachyon. It's theoretical, I believe.
Well, there are things which do move faster than the speed of light.
What are those?
The universe is expanding. And the reason why the sky is dark at night is because the universe is expanding. And farther and farther away, things are going faster and faster away from us.
And here I thought it was because the sun was on the other side of the Earth.
No.
That's not the reason.
No, if the universe were not expanding, the sky would never go dark because there's enough suns in the universe to where, you know, even though they're very far away, they would generate enough light to fill in the night sky. As the universe expands...
I'm sorry. I don't buy that one.
Well, it's a what do you call it? It's part of physics that the universe being...
I understand the...
The way it is, the way it's expanding...
I understand the expanding universe theory. All right? But...
As you go farther out in space, the bodies that are out there are accelerating away from you.
Yes.
Okay, as you get to a certain point, you know, so many... Billions of light years away.
We count it in light years.
Right. As you go so many billions of light years away, relative to you, those things are exceeding the speed of light. Relative to themselves, of course, they're not reaching anywhere near the speed of light. So it's actually...
You know, that doesn't make any sense. What you just said, to me anyway, makes no sense. That doesn't mean it isn't right. I just... absolutely, positively, do not understand it. If they are moving away at the speed of light, or, excuse me, sublight, then they are moving at sublight. Relative to me or to Earth, they are still moving away at sublight. So somewhere, either you didn't explain it or I didn't get it. One of the two. All right, we're going to break here at the top of the hour. Open lines. Anything you guys want to talk about, fair game. Tomorrow night, Wayne Green is going to be here. And Wayne Green, believe me, is something to behold. I'm Art Bell, and this is CBC.
You're listening to Coast AM with Art Bell. Listeners west of the Rockies can call Art toll-free by dialing 1-800-618-8255. If you're east of the Rockies, the toll-free number is 800-825-8255.
5033. If you've never called Art before, you may use the first-time caller line at area code 702-727-1222. And the wild card line is area code 702-727-1295. When you get through, let it ring, and Art will answer your call in order on the air. This is the CBC Radio Network.
On the wild card line at 702-727-1295. That's 702-727-1295. First-time callers can reach Art Bell at 702-727-1222. 702-727-1222. Now, here again, Art Bell.
Good morning, everybody. Great to be here. If you would like to join us, you know the numbers. If you're outside the U.S. of A., get hold of the AT&T USA Direct operator and have her dial 800-893-0903. We're open lines tonight, tomorrow night, 73 Magazine's Wayne Green. And he is an absolutely fascinating guy, ham radio operator, but so much more. He looks into cold fusion. He looks into things that, as a matter of fact, even UFOs. Tomorrow night, Wayne Green. All right, back to it we go. Open lines, anything you guys want to talk about. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, I had a question about the other photos of the Hellbop.
All right, would you turn your radio off, please?
Yes, I will.
Thank you.
The specifically the ones from Japan.
Yes.
And what the degree of authenticity of those photos were, and if they are authentic, I had an idea as to how it could be possibly validated. One of the explanations that had been postulated was that it was a blooming star in the background, and if the redshift of the anomalous object could be measured and then compared to the stars in the background, if it was a star, then that should be readily apparent. The reason being...
Originally the Japanese called that an anomalous object with a large funnel-like protrusion from the rear of it extending into space at considerable distance. That's what they said at first.
Okay.
Then they said, oh, no, it's a star and a CCD artifact. So your guess is as good as mine.
Very good. The other thought I had was that as evidence of faster than light travel, there's a classic experiment where two electrons are made to travel in opposite directions, and when you don't observe either one, you can't predict the polarity of either electron. However, when you observe one, you can precisely predict the polarity of the other. That implies that there's some interaction taking place between the two particles,
mm-hmm.
and since they're both traveling at the speed of light in opposite directions, whatever that interaction would be would have to be occurring faster than light, for whatever that's worth.
Well, there may be tachyons, but I believe they're still theoretical.
Yes, absolutely.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Art.
Yes, hi.
I got a guest idea for you.
Who would that be?
You ever heard of Glenn Danzig?
No.
Okay, He's kind of he's a singer, but he's like a real religious fanatic, and he has some really twisted beliefs, and I think it'd stir up a lot of stuff on your show.
A singer with really twisted religious beliefs.
Yeah, and another thing, your favorite movie is what, Prophecy?
Now, that's going a little far. I like...
Well, one of your favorites.
I like, yeah.
Okay, well, there's a part two coming out.
Oh, is there really?
And Glenn Danzig's playing one of the evil angels.
No kidding.
Yep.
I thought Christopher Walken was the best evil angel I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was. I thought it was pretty good myself.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, finally, he's gonna make his movie debut on Prophecy Part 2, and I thought if you could get him on there, I thought that'd be a pretty interesting show.
All right. Thank you very much. I have seen a few very good movies lately that I will tell you about, a couple that I want you to see. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, how you doing this morning?
Hey, I'm all right.
This is Doug, the earthquake man in central Idaho.
Yes, sir.
You wanted to know about the two quakes in California?
Yes.
The first one occurred at 11:17 Pacific Standard Time. It measured at 4.8. It was 1 mile northwest of Punta Gorda. The depth was 14.3 miles. The second event occurred at 12 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. It was a magnitude 4.3, located 16 miles west-northwest of Punta Gorda, with a depth of approximately 14.2 miles.
Hmm. So what do you think, a warm-up for something bigger or just a little shaken?
I don't know. In last week's earthquake that I did on the radio, I thought that there might be some increased activity.
And so there is. Do you predict more?
Excuse me?
Do you predict more?
Oh, I don't make any predictions. I just report on them.
Oh, I see. All right. Well, I appreciate the report. Thank you. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, hi.
Hello.
Hi, this is Don from Georgia.
Hey, Don.
Hey, you've been talking on and off about the effects of marijuana and the decriminalization of it.
Yes.
I just wanted to put my two cents in. I used to smoke pot. I don't anymore. But I sort of got a list together of the side effects that I remember from those days.
Yes.
And would you like to hear them?
Sure.
Okay. First of all, there's paranoia. Now, I don't know if that's because of the, because it's illegal or what, or if the paranoia would go away if it was legalized or
right.
decriminalized or not. Okay, that's one. Another one is making mountains out of molehills. Every little task, no matter how small, becomes a mountain. By that I mean it's a great difficulty to do the smallest of tasks. Do you understand?
Yes.
Okay. Another one is munchies. You know, you do get hungry. And I think maybe together with that is would probably help the people who were cancer patients or AIDS patients.
Yes.
That's one of the arguments for, decriminalizing it.
Right.
And so one thing I noticed was it makes you hungry, so that would help your
AIDS patients.
AIDS patients and so.
Yes. But,
another thing is laziness. It makes you lazy.
Lethargic.
What's that?
Lethargic.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Lethargic. And I think that might be a result of making mountains out of molehills. I'm not sure if those are, that might be thrown into the other one. But anyway. And lastly is, here's a good one for you, impotence. And the reason why is because your mind isn't on what you're doing. It's off in the left field somewhere. And so...
And besides that, who can get into sex when you're lethargic?
Yeah. Yeah, basically, yeah.
Now, that's your list, right?
Yeah.
If you were to make a similar list with regard to alcohol...
Yeah.
And you were to compare the two, what do you think you would conclude?
That's a good question. I would say the alcohol would be much worse when you compare the two.
Okay. I rest my case. Thank you very much for the call. It's not that marijuana is necessarily good. It's simply that I wish we would stop lying to people about it. And by the way, this on the heels of a big announcement today. There is now available on the market, you can go out and get it, a drug test kit for your children. Would you buy one? Would you hand them a little cup and then send it into a government-approved testing center and await the results?
How many of you are going to do that? East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hello, this is Luke. Is this Bart Bell?
Yes, who is this?
Luke.
Luke, okay, where are you?
I'm in Alabama.
Alabama. And what's on your mind, Luke?
Earlier in the show, you mentioned something about the quickening. And
yes.
I wanted to know, you know, what exactly you thought that was.
Luke, the quickening is, thanks for the call. The quickening to me, and I'm a layman, is everything you see compounding around you socially. The lack of civility, increasing lack of, the violent murder rate, the fact that people are killing people with no deference to any value of life at all. It is the economic disaster that we are facing and coming closer to by the minute. It is the political nonsense in Washington that has gone so far out of line that I've given up on it. I see so very little difference between the major candidates and even, for that matter, the parties right now. So little difference that it's almost not worth talking about, frankly. As you may have noticed, I don't talk a lot about politics anymore. And the reason is there's not much to talk about because there is not much difference in what any of them would do, including the difference between Newt Gingrich and Bill Clinton or the present majority leader in the Senate. On a whole bunch of them up there, so politics, you pick the category, and what I call the quickening, earth changes, weather changes, ecological changes, I could really go on and on, and to give you a hint, I will. But it is an ever-increasing, changing pace of events that is headed toward something. As a layman, as a talk show host, I don't say what that something is. But I know a lot of you have your own thoughts. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, good morning, Art.
Hello.
Yeah, this is Gorgon in Seattle.
Gorgon.
Gorgon.
How'd you get a name like Gorgon?
Well, it's my pseudonym.
Okay.
All right. I've got a... four non-associated topics I want to pass by you.
All right.
There was someone talking about the Earth's rotation is slowing down, and it was possibility because of damming up rivers and the tornadoes coming off the hurricanes.
Yes.
I was thinking because the sun has a lot of heating and cooling on the Earth, just maybe that few degrees slower a spin would let the sun's rays either heat it up longer or cool it off more, and that's why our weather pattern's changing.
As good a guess as anybody else's.
Yeah, could be. Another one I want to talk about, you know, your video online?
Yes.
Thing?
Yes.
You should do, this is just a suggestion, possibly hire somebody that does sign language for the deaf to do transcripts for, or, you know, to hand out, or you know, sign language your show.
To sign my show?
Yeah, for the deaf people.
I see. All right, thank you. Well, that's one practical use for it, I suppose. We are contemplating all kinds of video things that I can't really tell you about right now that would relate to the web page. And we'll see what develops. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Oh, wow. Is this our bell?
Yes, yes.
Okay, this is Marlene from Illinois.
Hi.
And I just recently started listening to your program. And a girlfriend and I have been having a lot of dreams lately about earthquakes and earth changes. And this really has been going on with me for at least 10 years. But they've really been heating up lately.
Right.
And we live real close to St. Louis. Well, we took a venture over Labor Day to go see the white buffalo in Janesville, Wisconsin.
Right.
Because we were thinking that we might get some answers up there. And there was a lot of power up there you could feel and stuff, but I felt like I was leaving without any answers until my girlfriend found a copy of Gordon Michael Skillion's map in the gift shop. And we looked at it, and we both had the intense impression that his map was not entirely correct.
Uh-huh.
And because it was missing Alton and St. Louis altogether, and the dreams that we had for this area were that Alton was not only going to get hit along with St. Louis, but that most of Alton was going down like two stories into the ground. And we were trying to figure out why that would be, why it wouldn't just be leveled, until I found out that Mississippi Line and several other mining operations have been undermining the entire area so that it's totally honeycombed, and they're continuing to do that. Well, then in part of her dream, she had seen that we had like 24 hours to get people to safety before the waters hit. I said, well, you know, we had the Mississippi here and the Missouri River. What waters, you know, that would come immediately. What else is there? And then when we looked at Gordon's map, he was talking about Lake Michigan spilling into the Mississippi River. Well, we realized that after we saw that map. So now I just had to get this out because I want people to know, if they're listening, these are the impressions we've gotten recently. I had a dream, and in the dream, I feel like I was told of the date of when this is going to occur. Now, I don't know about it, you know, globally. I don't know about it.
Don't think you're allowed to say I had a dream.
Oh, you can't?
That's a copyrighted phrase that belongs to the King family.
Oh, okay. Well, then, okay, I understand that then.
I had an impression. I had a vision.
I had a vision. Well, it was a vision. It definitely was.
All right.
And in my vision, the dates that I came up with
yes.
are July 10th of 1997. I believe there's going to be a major tremor stemming from the Madrid fault line here in the Midwest. And then I believe that the very big earthquake that's going to do, you know, it's going to change our lives totally. Is going to be October 7th of 1997.
All right. Well, we appreciate those dates, and keep us up to date with your dreams, if you would. On our international line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art. This is Jesse from Clearwater, British Columbia calling. I was just wondering, in regard to the quickening, what your impression of it is it going to be, do you think, a gradual change in the way our world and our political situation is, or is
no.
it going to be cataclysmic?
Cataclysmic. And I think, in other words, it is something that is beginning to race toward a conclusion that will be an event, not necessarily the end of the world, mind you, but an event of some great magnitude. Not the end, and there'll be something on the other side, but it will be different.
You know, that's interesting because I've been taking a bit of a poll of the people I know, including my family, who are very certainly conservative people. And pretty well everyone that I talk to knows that something is coming. And that's
sure.
the phrase that they use, something is coming.
Something is coming.
And these are from my long-haired dope-smoking hippie friends to my right-wing
conservative
friends. Father, you know, and everyone in between.
You have quite a range of friends there. Listen, how far are you from Vancouver?
Good God. several hours drive. I'm just in the central interior of
okay.
the province.
Oh, I see. Okay. Do you have clear skies? Or?
No. We haven't had clear skies since December. And then it was 42 below. And about the Celsius thing, you were wondering about it the other day?
Yes.
I can give you a pretty good rule of thumb to go by. In terms of comparing our temperatures to yours.
All right.
0 is freezing, 20 degrees is room temperature, and 40 below is 40 below.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty well it.
Well, the way I've always thought about it,
mm-hmm.
it's warmer here, and it's real cold where you are.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I guess that's right.
It's getting up to nearly 70 degrees of Fahrenheit.
Oh, go away.
During the day.
That's miserable.
It's warm. You walk outside, the sun warms your bones.
You go out in a T-shirt. You don't need to.
Yeah, but you people are all going to fall into the ocean anyway.
All right. You take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
See you later. That was the big retort. It's nice down here. Yeah, well, it may be nice down there, but you people are all going to fall into the ocean. And though we be cold up here, we'll laugh when it happens to you. That is when the sun is out. It's supposed to rain here in the desert tomorrow. So it's been pretty weird here, too. There's a definite change in the weather. No question about it. It is becoming more severe in every way. From the high desert, I'm Art Bell, and this is the American CBC Radio Network.
This is TRN and CBC, Talk Radio Network and Chancellor Broadcasting Company, home of Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Call Art Bell toll-free west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. 1-800-825-5033. This is the CBC Radio Network.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Mr. Bell.
Yes.
How are you?
Fine.
Are you being blown away?
By what?
The wind.
No, there's a little bit of wind. It's not too bad.
Oh. Well, I was calling in regards to the guest that you had about a week and a half ago, the gentleman with the time-traveling machine.
Yes.
And he said something during the course of the interview about there was a small pad that you rubbed back and forth, and you waited until it felt sticky.
Yes.
Well, it just struck a note in something that happened to me when I was younger. We had a lady come visit us. She had some kind of a machine like that. It wasn't not a time machine, but what she said she could do was she could, like, what she did for me was I had a ring with an opal in it,
mm-hmm.
and she put the opal on this machine and did this, and she asked the actual stone in my ring questions, like, where did you come from, and have you ever, it was very interesting, and
so what did the stone say? Something like, well, you know, I was very comfortable underground in a cave, and some fool dug me up and polished me up, and here I am.
No, but actually what it told her was that it had come from a larger setting about 50 years ago and had been cut down.
Hmm.
But it was very interesting, this pad that she had, that where it felt sticky like that. And I tried it, and it was very strange.
Fascinating.
Yeah, and I'm not sure it has any kind of correlation. I don't remember her name. I don't remember why she came to visit our house.
Do you think you could only talk to an opal, or could you talk to an average rock?
I'm not sure exactly. I'm trying to remember how much. I just happen to have this ring, and I think you could do it with just an old coin or a necklace or any kind of inanimate object.
Interesting. All right. Thank you. Talking to objects. Actually, it would be fun, wouldn't it? How about beds, huh? Those beds can talk. Art, just finished my vacation traveling through Nevada. The route from California took me to Beatty, Tonopah, Rachel, and finally Las Vegas. Rachel, founded in 1978, may be the UFO center of the world. What is amazing about Rachel is how isolated it is. Population about 100. But it's gained so much notoriety. I understand from the locals, Rachel just got power lines 2 or 3 years ago. One local author spent probably, Glenn Campbell, I'll bet, 3 hours with me talking about his book, showed me some very interesting videos of UFOs near Rachel. Also, while at the Little Ailey Inn, several people called from Europe, making travel plans to the area.
My question is this. Have you or will you ever consider doing a live show from Rachel, Nevada? Bill in Fairfield, near Travis Air Force Base. No, I don't think so. I watched Larry King do that, and I thought it looked kind of silly. He had a desk set up in the middle of the desert right out there near Rachel. And cameras and lights. And, you know, the desert during the day gets nice and warm, as I told somebody a little while ago, maybe up to 70 during the day. But at night, it gets cold. And it was getting to be nighttime, dark. And Larry was doing a show on UFOs. And he just sat out there at this desk. And you could see that everybody was beginning to shiver, and they never did really see anything. They had a show, but I can't see any reason to go out there and shiver in the desert. No, I don't think so. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, this is Bill from Tennessee.
Yes, sir.
I was wondering, what was the thing called Future Vision, something that they use? Is that what you're talking about?
I don't know what you're talking about.
It was something do with the Hale-Bopp comet. They used it.
Oh, you mean remote viewing?
Yeah, remote viewing.
Yes,
uh-huh. Could you explain that to me?
If you'll listen on the 30th, we're going to have Major Dames on, who was in the original military remote viewing project, and he will explain it.
On the 30th?
Yep.
Okay, I just wanted to ask one more question.
All right.
The guy with the time machine, is there any, like, solid proof that that would work?
None that I know of.
Would you try it yourself?
I might.
Really?
I might.
Okay.
All right.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
Right, thank you. Would I try it? An interesting question. I'm pretty much pleased with when I am. In other words, I like the present. However, as a tourist, I sure wouldn't mind visiting, I'd probably pick the mid-50s. There are some things growing up, and I was born in 1945, June the 17th, 1945, and there are some things that I know now that if I were in that year, I could apply then to great advantage, and I will not detail it beyond that. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art Bell.
Yes.
Yeah, this is Dave calling from Danville, California.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, listen, I'm not going to mention a name, but I am tired of hearing about you-know-who, and I think
Then don't talk about him.
Well, that's it. I didn't mention his name.
Okay.
In any case, I'm very encouraged to see that the people that are calling in are going back pretty much to what we call normal on the Art Bell Show.
Well, it was inevitable, and I thought that what I needed to do, you know, I could have loaded up the beginning of the week with guests.
Right.
But I knew full well that everybody wanted to get this off their chest, talking about you-know-who.
I understand.
So I thought I'd let them get it out of their system, and then we would proceed.
You bet. So in any case, Art, I was calling to ask you some questions about your show.
All
how
right.
How do you select a special guest?
Either because the audience is particularly interested in that subject at that time, or because I think it would be fun or cool.
Great.
That's an honest answer.
Hey, I'll tell you, that does it. Any case, you were talking about cold in the desert.
Oh, yes.
I don't think anything was as cold as that Packer game. And I saw those commentators on TV sitting at that table. Remember the one that took place in Green Bay?
Oh, yes. But I mean, what about... yeah, you're right. I mean, it was cold, and they showed past Packer games that were even colder.
Incredible. Go back in the 60s, some of those awesome games. Just unbelievable, the conditions that those guys played in.
Any predictions for the Super Bowl?
You betcha. I think it's Packers all the way.
Yep, me too. Me too, me too.
Yeah, I know. I kind of felt that you felt that way, too.
Well, I predicted that at the beginning of the year.
And you stood by your guns,
yeah.
And I think we're going to have an enjoyable weekend watching the Super Bowl.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Okay, you take care, Art.
Right. Bye-bye. Yeah, it is, of course, enjoyable. Wouldn't miss it for anything. And I do have a feeling. I think it's the Packers' time. Can't you feel it? Of course, I could be wrong. But I really do think it's going to be the Packers. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, hi. Is this Art Bell?
Yes.
I mean, as if I thought it was somebody else.
I'm the only one here.
That's what I'd ask you.
Everybody does, yes.
Art, I wanted to ask you a question. It was a little bit offbeat.
Okay.
But how do you and how did you break into radio? And somebody like myself, how would I break into radio, and how could I be the next Art Bell and talk about things like Bob?
Well, I had to kill a guy.
Yeah, you did?
Yeah.
Well, that's not a problem. What else?
Well, that was it. I mean, I created the opening.
Okay, and then how do you squeeze through the opening?
Oh, you're just there at the right time. I mean, obviously the guy is gone just before airtime, right? Mysteriously.
Yeah.
And you quickly wipe off all the blood, be sure the drain is clean, and then make yourself available.
But seriously, did you work small markets?
The smallest, yes.
I mean, I talked to a guy who worked such a small market that after a shift was over, he had to feed the horse.
I did stuff like that.
Yeah?
The first radio station that I ever really worked at was a little FM station up on top of a mountain in New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
And during the winter, the mountain was covered with snow and ice, so you could drive part way up, and you had to walk the rest of the way up. And it was a religious FM station, so all I got to do was read the news every hour. And the man who ran it was fanatical, and he didn't like you getting too close to the microphone. And in order to teach you not to get too close, if he came into the studio and saw you close to the mic, he would sneak up behind you and yank the chair out from under you while you were on the air reading the news. And so the audience would hear, and the audience would hear this big cuz smash, and that would be you going on your butt. And he did that to me one time too many, and I quit. And that was my first job.
When did your career take the twist that it has now into the macabre or the fringes, talking with the kind of guests that you talk with now?
Well, I've been doing this program for about 13 years, and I did quite a bit of that sporadically for many years, and then sort of migrated more toward it as I became more disgusted with politics.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been in about the last 3 or 4 years.
Now, without being disrespectful to your guests, one of the questions that I have as I listen to your show,
yes,
is why don't you ask some of the harder questions?
Well, give me an example.
Well, when you had this gentleman named Steve on who was talking about time travel,
yes,
I think that my assumption is, and I think the assumption of most of the public and the physicists, is that this doesn't happen, it's not going to happen, and
if it ever does happen,
time travelers from the future that have come to the past, but certainly not somebody creating a device at this point that's taking them to the future.
All right, sir. What grilling hotbed question would you have asked designed to draw the absolute truth from him?
I would have said, on a prearranged date, I would want myself, two other scientists, and maybe another impartial observer to come out and see you demonstrate your device. And then I would come back to the listening audience and say, this is what I saw, or this is what I didn't see.
I see. Well, I'm not willing to do that. In other words, I wasn't willing to travel to where he was and go through all that. So instead, I let him tell your story and his story, and then you can make your own conclusions. But regarding the claims made by every guest I have on my show, I can't get personally involved and test each one of them. I just can't do it.
But at the same time that you give him a forum to talk to, and you did listen to him, and you were very fair to him.
Yes.
Some of the callers that call, such as the last couple of callers, you almost listen to them in a way that you've got a smile on your face, and you know that you and the audience is saying, this guy is way out. Or this.
Well, my friend, if you're sitting where I am and you weren't smiling so that it could be heard vocally on occasion, I would say you weren't sane.
But were you feeling the same way when you talked with Stephen about time travel?
Not necessarily. I kind of looked past, his halting manner of speech, and instead listened to the content, as obviously a lot of the audience did. And again, I say, because somebody is not a polished speaker, doesn't mean the content of what they're saying may not have some serious amount of value. And if you listened carefully to the first hour of his technical explanation, it made sense. Now, I'm not saying that it works, and he has offered me no hard or concrete proof that it works. However, the technical explanation that he offered really was quite good with regard to current knowledge about our brains, for example. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yeah, Art.
Yes, sir.
How are you tonight?
Very well.
Yeah, I'm Steve from Dayton, Ohio in L.A., and I was wanting to talk about two things.
All right.
All right, sleep paralysis.
Mm-hmm.
I was in my reg about 2 months ago.
Oh, that's a bad place for sleep paralysis.
But I was in the rack.
Oh, I see.
I was asleep.
Yes.
And I was having this weird dream about planets or comets flying around my head.
Comets flying around.
And then I reached up to grab one.
Really?
Yeah, and then like about 2 minutes later, I woke up, right?
Did you have a comet when you woke up?
Well, I tried to open my hand. No. I could not open up my hand.
You know, it would be really cool if you opened your hand and this really fiery thing flew out.
You know what flew out?
What?
A fly.
A fly?
Yeah, I guess I grabbed a fly in midair while I was asleep.
That's pretty good.
It actually happened. My wife was with me when it happened.
I like it.
And the other thing.
Yes?
Much sadder note. I lost a brother this early January. And I just want everybody to know that no matter how bad it is, you can always talk to somebody that you really love. No matter how bad it is, you can always talk to...
It's like they are still there.
Well, not just that. He just, the way he left wasn't really, cool. He left on his own, so to speak.
I'm not sure there's a lot of cool ways to go.
And I'm looking forward to Wayne Green again.
Tomorrow night. Tomorrow night. All right, sir, thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. Those of you who have lost people know that you can still communicate with them. The rest of you are no doubt chuckling beneath your breath, and that's fine, but... Those of you who have lost somebody close to you, you know you can still speak to them. Not as you did in life, but mentally you can converse with them. And as I said, many others will be chuckling at that. That's all right. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, this is Pete. How are you doing?
Okay.
Hey, I'm still working on my Way Tossing Gyros, or WTG.
Yeah.
And I think my specs are officially done and ready for it's officially ready for construction, but I'm probably going to need a retired machinist or something that has a lot of junk to work with. And if your audience could somehow supply me with some old top-notch bowling balls of the same weight and some other things, including some compressed lightweight fiberglass epoxy rods and a couple of motorcycle engines, I could be on my way. I'm also working on an exploding tornado propulsion unit, or better known as ETPU.
Something to explode tornadoes.
Exploding tornado propulsion unit. And if anyone's interested, I hope they fax you, Art, because I am totally serious.
The question is, how do you get the explosive device directly in the path of the tornado?
Well, it's not an explosive device, Art. It's the tornado itself is compressed into a super tight vacuum until the vacuum itself explodes. Kind of like when you throw a rock at a pitcher tube. It implodes, then it explodes.
Okay, what is it that you throw at the tornado to cause it?
Well, first you have to create a wind dynamic eddy, then a vacuum, inside a hollow containment field from a jet engine or whatever propulsion unit you're using. You probably have to use a modified jet engine for this.
Yeah, but still, it is a device that you have to then get in the path of a tornado, right?
Well, no. The tornado is contained within a hollow structure, and then it is.
Well, heaven knows what you're going to need for that. So you better concentrate on the first item, I guess. Your weight throwing gyros, and then you can move on to tornadoes. Tornadoes have always fascinated me. Wouldn't it be cool if there was actually a way to blow them up in effect? You'd have tornado hunters. Fire one. Yes, sir. We'll be right back. This is CBC. All right, I wonder if that young lady who called a while ago who asked about getting blown away was perhaps being prophetic. The wind is beginning to pick up here in my part of the desert. It's calling for rain tomorrow, and I suspect this is probably a front coming through ahead of that, but that's just my guess. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. Got a what-if for you.
All right.
Okay. What if the news media started reporting that a young woman in her mid-20s had been observed performing limited miracles or anomalies, such as self-levitation or causing a bright glow to appear about her body or make plants grow so quickly that you could see it with the naked eye, or maybe she speaks in Latin, but anyone who listens to her will understand exactly what she's saying?
Well, then I would want to interview her.
Well, I'm wondering if the callers would believe the message that she would deliver, or because she could do these things, or if they would ignore her, or would it matter where she came from? Like, if she was from the Middle East, would they pay more attention? If she was from China?
Actually, I can give you a good answer to that question, and at the same time, a recommendation for a movie, all right? This movie will answer your question. I just saw it, and it deserves some kind of an award. Called Phenomenon. I'm sure you've seen it advertised. It's been in the theaters. John Travolta is in it, and it is the best part Travolta has ever played. Totally out of character with regard to anything he's ever done before. Has anybody out there seen Phenomenon? Did you react the way I did? I thought it was one of the better movies that I'd seen in a long time. I mean that. Even including ID4. Phenomena, I guess. Travolta, has anybody else seen that? And if so, what was your reaction to it? I mentioned that I was going to mention a movie earlier, and that was the one, and that call provoked that answer. And I would recommend to that caller that as soon as he's able, he sees that movie. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
This is Lewis from Louisiana.
Hello, Lewis.
Checking to see if you got my Hail Bob song thing.
You know, I have not yet.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
I hope it didn't
hear
the flood that y'all had.
Well, I don't know. It's not here yet.
Uh-oh. And my second thing was, you was talking earlier about dreams earlier. Had one yesterday relating to the quickening. I had another earthquake dream again, and this time, it was like I was staying with some people, and they were talking about, some hydrological maps. And this guy was arguing with them, and they were, I take it was like, during a dry period, and the guy kept saying, he said, you know, our maps are showing, you know, the water levels are changing along the Mississippi River, and we just now find a first-time unexplained fault that we can't account for, and the maps don't show it. And then in the second dream, when after I woke up, I went back to sleep again 10 minutes later and picked up, I guess, where I'd left off, and it saw several places where a 6.7 earthquake hit in the midwest to the south part of the United States.
Well, you are in good company, my friend. There are many people reporting dreams just like yours, and many of them already tonight. Make of it what you will. There has been earthquake activity in the last several hours. In the west, in Colorado, some here in my little valley, and two fairly recent quakes in the last several hours in Northern California, so near Eureka. So there is activity is beginning to warm up, and I would suspect we'll see something of some significance in the next few days. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Bill from Salt Lake City.
Yes, sir.
Regarding Hale Bob and the fiasco that you went through.
Yes.
Do you like a good practical joke?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I think we have been a victim, all of us, of a big, gigantic practical joke, and somebody is laughing their head off.
Well, I think you're confusing joke with hoax.
Well, they broke no law. It was a good practical joke, I think. Yeah, you should look at it that way, because I would have done the same thing if I had have thought of it. I've pulled some good practical jokes, and I've had a lot of practical jokes played on me, but I don't get too upset about it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't agree?
No.
Well,
but you're entitled to your opinion, sir.
Yeah, okay.
All right?
Thank you.
Thank you. There are practical jokes, and then there are frauds. I am able to carefully differentiate between the two. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, this is Stu in Phoenix.
Hi, Stu.
Yeah, you had a caller a little while ago who was talking about exploding tornadoes.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to tell you a story I heard when I was in the service. I don't know how much truth there is to it, but somebody out there may know more about it or be able to confirm it. But I once heard that in the late 50s, early 60s, the Air Force actually used a flight of Delta Wing fighters at supersonic speed to kill a tornado.
Cool.
There was a monster that was bearing down either on a populated area or one of the Air Force bases. And they sent this flight right through the middle of the funnel, and the shockwave actually dissipated the funnel.
How come that wasn't reported?
I don't know. Like I said, it's a story I heard. I don't know if another listener can confirm it, or maybe somebody knows more about it who could give some more information.
Sounds like a suburban legend to me.
Well, that's possible, but how many legends are based in fact?
About half.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye-bye. If there had been, in effect, a tornado blown up by jets, you would think we would know about it, wouldn't you? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art.
Yes.
I'd like to ask you something about your cat.
I have three.
Do they ever bite your hand as a show of affection?
Yes.
Just gently, or...
Well, yes. I sometimes fight with my cats.
Oh, well, I wouldn't...
And then it's not so gentle. In other words, I don't want to go into detail, but I fight with them. I cover up their little heads, and they hate that, and...
Oh, well, I throw a newspaper over mine occasionally, and she has a lot of fun with that. But... Occasionally, she will start out just tender bite as a show of affection. Then it becomes more vigorous and all four paws get involved and the blood starts to flow.
That's right. That's how cats do their thing. It's not unusual, sir. Your cat does not hate you.
Well, I'm certainly glad to hear that. I do enjoy your show, and I love it when you tell us about your cat.
All right. Thank you. Now, I was, as some of you know, when I had my cat that I rescued from under my house, I was severely bitten. And I mean severely. My hand was just like a basketball. It was horrible. I had to go to the hospital. So that was more than a little love bite. Since then, though, Comet, who is my wild cat, just gives me little nibbles, not angry bites. Little nibbles occasionally. It's been a long time, actually. Comet is very, very docile now in many ways and improving all the time. Boy, I could write a book about the taming of a wild animal. It really has been an experience. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. It's Dana.
Hi, Dana.
Hey, it's a comment and a question. The comment was, I'm real jealous that you've gotten to see a UFO up close. I've seen several things over the years, but they were way up high, and I've always wanted to see one up close, so I'm jealous. And the question is, do you plan on having David John Oates on anytime in the near future? I love it when you interview him.
Do you?
Fascinating. Oh, yeah.
Reverse speech.
Oh, man, I think it's great. I can't wait to get my money together to get one of his machines.
What I do is I give him enough time to get lots of new material.
Yeah.
My guess would be that he's doing reversals as we speak on Courtney.
I'm sure he, yeah, I hate that whole scenario, but yeah, he probably is.
And other critical things. The president's inaugural address would strike me as another that would be worth some investigation, I would think.
That would be a good one. I was just hoping you might have, because you've gotten a lot of new affiliates since the last time he was on, so a lot of people haven't gotten to hear him. So.
It is true. It is true. Yeah, we'll have him on again.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. All your guests are interesting, but he's my favorite.
All right.
Okay. Take care.
Take care. Yeah, I'm sure he's doing more reversals. The ones that got me and never have let go were the ones of the children with that ethereal sound to them. God, that was weird. That just put shivers right down my spine. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Morning, Art.
Hi.
Hi, this is Ron up in Idaho.
Yes, Ron.
And that fellow that was talking about the speed of light and stuff?
Yes.
Well, you know, Einstein's theory that energy... find energy is, the equation is E equals MC squared,
mm-hmm.
which is 186,300 miles a second times 186,300 miles an hour. And anytime mass is traveling at the speed of light, it
becomes infinite.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that way, that there's no way that they can measure it, so there's nothing can travel faster than the speed of light.
Unless you happen to be near the event horizon of a black hole. Now, you might want to go look into that.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Could be, sure. There's one other thing I'd like to mention to you.
Yes.
This fellow from... Mr. Gibbs.
Yes.
I wrote a letter to him.
Uh-huh.
And to get his catalog and stuff. I have a project that I have been working on sometime. It's still on paper. I have not even started to build a model. And I call it my dream recorder. And what I want to do is to pick up brain waves in the rapid eye movement period of sleep and process them into digital information and then turn around and process that into so I can put it on a
computer screen.
Well, that would be excellent, considering the dreams some people have. Oh, that would be very entertaining indeed, wouldn't it? And we will be able to do that one day. And if you think that's interesting, imagine the reverse. After managing to store the digital data on a computer, you would then, in effect, be able to download a dream to somebody, to somebody else's brain. That's going to take a lot of the fun out of reality. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
Yeah, I've got a question for you. Oh, by the way, I did the phenomenon.
You did.
And I thought that was John Travolta's one of his finest roles.
So did I. And well, the man was asking what would happen to somebody who could move things or levitate things, and I think Phenomena, the movie, answered that very precisely. Don't you?
Well, and I thought the most surprising and the most encouraging thing about Phenomena is you had the impression at first that it was coming from the outside.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that it came from within was the redemption of man, and it was speaking to the truth of the human spirit.
It was an important movie.
I had one other comment that I wanted to make.
Sure.
And I'm not sure if you or your folks are aware of this, but I thought that it would be kind of a neat thing. As compared to the chat rooms on the internet,
yes,
there is a place called The Palace. Are you familiar with that?
No.
The Palace actually has a graphical interface so that there are rooms, and there's chess rooms and conference rooms. And what you do is you have an icon that represents everybody that's there. And so in real time, you can see these icons move around, and people can create their own icons. And with the software that they provide, once you're registered, you can even create your own rooms and your own palace. And if there was an Art Bell palace, I think that for the exchange of information, I'll tell you what, it beats the heck out of just the line-by-line-by-line reading that you see in a general chat room.
I see.
And
I know a lot of
people probably have ideas, and you say, oh, yeah, okay, and then just let it go. But
yes.
If you'd have the people that know your web page, the people that put it together for you, look at the palace, I think that you would truly be amazed, and I think that it would create
How do I do that?
If you go into your search engine and you put in the palace,
yes,
you're going to get it to come up. It allows you to download the palace over the internet, and then you can go in as a guest to try it out.
A guest. But assuming I register my software, then I could be a king in my palace.
Well, what they do is they provide you with software to be either a client,
yes,
or a server. If you decide to be a server,
uh-huh,
they tell you what you need to do to set up your own palace, and then it's interlinked with the main palace, which is called the palace.com. But I think it's no different than a chat room. But the thing that's amazing about it is you have props, you have what they call an avatar, where you can either put your picture out there, or you can create some kind of creature, and then you can be in a chess room. And you can play chess with somebody.
All right, I think I'm beginning to get the idea. I will. I'll try it from one of the search engines, Yahoo or something. All right.
Oh yeah, please do. You'll enjoy it, and I think that your listeners would love it if you put something together like that.
All right. Well, this chess player has to move out of here right now. Thank you.
Good enough. Bye bye.
See you later. This is CBC. We are the ones. Good morning, everybody. If it's strange, weird, bizarre, unusual, you'll find it here. It's called Coast to Coast AM, middle of the night radio. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. How are you today?
Fine.
Appreciate you being out there for us to be able to talk to.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to ask you a question about the Hale Bob comment, and I wanted to ask a question about that supposedly fraudulent picture.
Okay.
Do you think it's possible that during the process of that original picture being taken, that there was a sequence of pictures being taken, and that there's also a possibility that in one of those sequences there would have been another bright light adjacent to.
Anything is possible, however.
Mm-hmm.
That photograph was taken within 10 to 15 minutes by a telescope the size of the one in Hawaii,
right,
from a location that had to be near Hawaii.
Yeah, we assume from the information that's come out that it has to have been taken from that.
So if you're suggesting something zoomed in and zoomed out, I guess you could theorize anything you wanted, but that, you know.
Yeah, I've been sticking pretty close to everything that you've been talking about so far and how the things have expanded. It just so happens that I was listening the night of the 14th, and then I ordered the tapes from you and had the original set of tapes, and I've recorded a lot of the information about it. And I noticed that a lot of times during the process that there were people that would look for the companion, and sometimes it would be there and sometimes it wouldn't be there.
Correct.
And so I was thinking that, do you think there's at all a possibility that the individuals, do you think there's at all a possibility that the individuals connected with all this information are being genuine and it's not a fraud, and yet it appears to be presented that way, and...
No, if you're asking my opinion is there is a fraud.
Most definitely, in your mind?
Yes.
Okay, well, you're a privilege to a lot more of the things. In other words, everything that you discuss with people doesn't come out over the air, and I appreciate that. But
what I know has come out over the air, sir.
Well, I'm talking about, like, say, for instance, Mr. Brown has 2 or 3 hours worth of conversation with whoever that individual was that was supposed to have given him the pictures, and...
I was not privy to that.
Exactly.
No, that's correct.
And so even when we listen to your programs, there can be hours and hours and hours of conversation that we would want to talk about, but you can only fit so much information in there.
Well, that's true, sir.
Yeah. I choose to think that that Courtney Brown was very forthcoming and very honest about his description on the 14th. And I also choose to think that perhaps sometime in his life he had an experience where he had a bad experience where he thought it was necessary from now on that if anything like this comes up, I'm going to take the responsibility. Perhaps he had a bad thing happen to him like you had happened to you in your youth when you had the chair pulled out from underneath of you. So you're not so inclined to believe in religious things now.
That's not fair. That's not even true. I'm less inclined to get close to the mic.
Okay.
Thank you very much for the call. Oh, jeez. Hey, listen, guess what, folks? They have opened a bulletin board on my webpage, a bulletin board service. Now, the mailing list is no more. We now have a bulletin board. It is now officially open. And let me read you some of the topics. Coast-to-coast AM topics, Dreamland guests, Linda Moulton Howe, Lisa's odds and ends, whoever Lisa is, Oh My God, whatever that is, politics, The Quickening, The Registry of Dreams, ooh, cool, Truth or Trash, Wildcard Line, First-Time Caller Line, Message Board News, and The Funny Bone. All of those have message threads in them, and you can go up there and read them. So we now have an official bulletin board online on the webpage, www.artbell.com. Cool. I just found it myself. I knew it was coming, but I didn't know when it would officially be there. It is now officially there. On my webpage, www.artbell.com. Now that's the way to do a message board. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art Bell?
Yes.
Oh, I'm delighted. My name is Kyle.
Kyle.
Yes, and I'm in close to where the Northridge quake took place. And what I'm going to tell you and your listeners is absolute truth. I worked with the Department of Interior for many years. Mm-hmm. There is no remote viewing. By God, if we had had it, we certainly would have done better than just predicting the Whittier, the Nicaraguan, the Mexico City, and the Frisco quake. I don't believe a thing about this guy, Courtney, whoever he is, mm-hmm. but we literally did the hard work. We did this with a computer, with astrology. We did it with dream sensory work that was not ever programmed. It was true. And I don't know who you're trying to bamboozle there, but this was hard work well done. It can be proven. And I will give you my number off the air to have you call me, and I will prove this to you. We worked with, and the only problem was the branch that we worked with was taken over by the Air Force when George Bush became the president.
Hmm.
This is absolute truth, and I'm on the level.
Okay.
We did this work, and the Whittier quake was predicted exactly where and the magnitude. The San Francisco baseball quake, as we saw it, was predicted.
Well, how come you didn't tell anybody?
Well, because they literally told me at the survey that if you tell people, that we will say we don't know you. But this has gone too far.
Well, then
remote,
why?
If remote viewing had been the case,
then why don't you? Why don't you call this program before an earthquake and tell us so we can verify?
Because what good would it do? The
well,
chain
it didn't
of
do
command,
a lot of good.
The chain of command that goes on,
sir,
the quake prediction, would be not to alarm the public, but
sir,
it goes from federal
yeah,
to
but
governor.
I alarm the public all the time. No sweat here.
No,
I mean,
but
if you want to make a quake prediction, you can do it here.
I literally... No, but this has been done. The chain of command goes...
But, sir, I'm giving you a way... To absolutely.
Now, I will give you a way to contact me because, frankly, to alarm the public is not the way to go.
So you're going to call me, give me the prediction, let me make it
no,
so I can alarm
the public.
No, I will make
no prediction. I'm telling you that if there were remote viewing, we would have known.
Look, I'm saying forget the remote viewing. You're saying you've got prediction of quakes.
I'm saying we have done this.
Well, then prove it.
Prove it in what way? What you had for breakfast, a bagel, and
no,
and
I just no. I just gave you away. The next time they call you up saying this,
they. I am completely out of touch with them now because the liaison has retired.
All right. So in other words, you don't get any more predictions.
No, I am the one who predicts.
No, you predict. And so you're saying you're predicting yourself, but I have no
desire to alarm the public.
Okay, well, then when you decide to let the public know, let me know, and we'll proceed. Until then, only you and I guess your hairdresser will know. Maybe not even your hairdresser. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hey, it's PJ from Canyon Country.
How are you? I'm fine.
That's good. Well, first of all, I'd like to offer congratulations to the X-Files for sweeping the Golden Globe Awards for sci-fi. For best drama, which is quite an accomplishment.
Yes, it is. It certainly is.
Sci-fi show. And the other thing I wanted to ask you is, when do you think you'll have Dr. Martin back on?
Malachi Martin?
Yeah.
I would say any time. There are a couple of complications to having him back on, though.
Okay. Because he's very fascinating to listen to.
Oh, yes.
And the last thing is I wanted to ask you, see if you knew, or maybe you could ask Richard Hoagland, was, you know how planets rotate around from, like, east to west around a star or a sun? Is it possible for a planet to rotate from north to south?
Yes. Does that answer your question?
Yes, I just never heard of one.
Yeah, I would think a planet could be in rotation with respect to in any direction. Could be in orbit, any sort of orbit. Wild card line, if that's the question, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. I have a question to ask. I tried to call you the other night when you had Dreamland on to see if I could get an answer, and perhaps maybe someone in the listening audience or yourself might have an answer to this. I used to live in a haunted house, and various things took place in the house, but the most startling thing was one night the entire house, except for the front foyer, the kitchen, and the bathroom, filled up with fog. The fog was about 4 feet from the floor, and that's as far up as it went. I live about a mile and a half from the ocean, so I opened up all the doors and windows. The house faced west, so I always have a breeze. The fog did not move. It sat there for 4 hours.
Wow.
I have yet to be able to find out what significance this had and how it was related. We even crawled under the house to verify that there was no fog under the house. The house was about 3.5 feet off the ground,
right,
with hardwood floors. And there was no fog under the house either. And I've been told that it is a described type of haunting scenario, but I haven't been able to find out what it is.
Well, you know, my guest would have been perfect for that, of course.
Yes.
I don't have that answer, but that's very interesting.
It was very weird and rather startling.
What do you think it was?
I don't know. I know who was doing the haunting in the house. I lived there for 18 years and became very accustomed to it. There was an old man that I saw on several occasions walking around in the house, and what I would hear late at night, and everyone that stayed in the house visiting or living there heard it as well, was old radio stations. They were hearing fireside chats of FDRs.
Remarkable.
And I think I had the impression that the old man was waiting for his son to return from the war, but he never came home.
Hmm.
And only on two occasions did I see someone who was in Army uniform in the house.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. That's one of those great stories that we'll just have to hang. And we have a lot of guests that respond to that sort of thing. So next time we have one, by all means, call. In the meantime, weird. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning. Will, Madison, Wisconsin, listening to WLS. How are you this
yes,
morning?
Yes, sir. I'm just fine.
You know, I'm a cynic, and you're a very courteous man. You allow people to call in and say, for example, that there's a golden city in the background. I believe somebody called in from Milwaukee, Wisconsin this morning.
That's right.
You're very courteous to those people. I am sometimes mystified by what happens, and I'm sure you are, by, for example, you alleging that you saw what you believe to be a UFO.
I'm not alleging it. I'm saying it's a fact.
Okay.
Personal eyewitness.
Okay. If you'll be courteous enough to hear my mystifying true story. As you know, I travel searching old maps, for example. I came back from Europe a couple of years ago, and here at our University of Wisconsin, we have the world authority on old maps. He's the editor-in-chief of the History of Cartography. I'm not going to say his last name. Let's just use the first name, Dave. And I showed him an old map, and he said, Will, you have got to go down to the Time Museum. I said, Time Museum?
Well,
yes.
Is this the wooden map you've told us about before?
Yes, sir. But I don't want to get off on a tangent. Be courteous to me.
Courteous also requires that I understand what you're talking about, though.
Okay.
And you've talked about the wood map before?
Yes.
I wanted to know if that was the same one.
That's the wooden map. I had a photo of it where allegedly it was carved in 353 before Christ.
Yes.
And there's a carving of the Ankh, for example,
yes,
on the upper reaches of the Nile, and the word carved in the wood, Ongolonot.
Right, and I just wanted to be sure that's what we were talking about.
Right. So now there's a time museum, and you'll be interested in this. Did you know that there was a man who had a patent on all these machines that take the dust off the carpets? What do you call them?
Vacuum cleaners.
Yeah, right.
Well,
I'm sorry. I'm too intelligent for those little things, you know.
I see.
Just a little humor there. Anyway, in that museum is the world's first time clock, a big, huge thing. It's the size of a living room. This man was a multimillionaire, and he bought it in England and brought it over to America. It's over in Rockford, Illinois. And those who are interested in time might be interested in that little interesting museum. So he says, let's make an appointment for you tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I have an appointment for next morning, 10 o'clock. In that afternoon, I just came in from Europe. I'm tired. I'm driving down East Washington Avenue. I see an object on the road. I see people swerving. I pull over, pick it up. It's a coat. I go home. I open it up. There's a big, thick wallet and a coat. A lot of slips of paper, credit cards, et cetera. I find out the people are from Alaska. And I see that they've stayed overnight at the University of Wisconsin. They had a guest hotel or something like that. I call the man. It's about 5 p.m. He says, I'm too tired right now. I'm just knocking off. Bring the coat in, the wallet and everything. I'll get in touch with them up in Alaska tomorrow. I said, okay. I go to sleep. I wake up the next morning, and there's a lot of papers, a lot of phone numbers. And I decide I'll take a chance. I'll call one number. I don't know where it is. I call it. The lady answered on the phone. She said, have you found a coat? I said, yes. A wallet? Yes. That's my parents. They're coming down from Alaska, and they're coming to visit me here in Chicago. I said, well, where are they? They're at that Time Museum Motel in Rockford, Illinois. They have lost a coat. They left it on the top of their car, and it blew off as they left Madison, Wisconsin. I said, they're at the Time Museum Motel? I'm scheduled to be there at 10 a.m. Will you call them and let them know to meet me at the entrance of the museum?
Okay, well, we've got to get to the conclusion of this story.
The point is that how could that be possible? Nothing prearranged. I accidentally found their coat, their wallet. They're staying overnight. The next morning, I'm scheduled to be there. There they are. They get their wallet. Everybody's just amazed. I'm mystified. They're mystified. How can something like that happen? Is there more to life than death and strife?
Of course there is, Will. Thank you. Of course there is. Is everything a coincidence? No. No, of course not. There are more things than we understand. And anybody who is not who would not allow for that is foolish, naive, or just simply doesn't want to know. And there are a lot of people comfortable in ignorance. There are many things we do not understand. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art Bell?
Yes.
Hi, this is Mark from Kansas City.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
All right.
I sent you a couple emails a little while back. One was on the plutonium on Galileo.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Do you remember that?
I do.
What you think?
Well, why don't you explain to the audience? You're referring to what's going to go crashing in.
Right, right. Well, I had watched a video on like the Panic Project, you know, being the alien invasion, so forth. It's kind of like a hoax and so forth, and that. That there was also a special payload on Galileo satellite.
Yes.
50 pounds of plutonium.
That's
49,
correct.
They said.
Yes.
And it aligns with the movie Space Odyssey 2010.
Yeah, and that it would be turned into a sun.
That's right.
Ignited, literally sun. Ignited.
Right, and it would serve, I feel it would serve like two purposes. One, it would be like an experiment on Europa for it to uncover its life.
Well, we're supposed to keep our hands off Europa. I saw that movie.
Okay.
Mess around with the rest, but hands off your rope.
Right. And then also to serve as a second sun to help some of the problems we have here on Earth, as explained like in the book of 2010.
The problem with that is that it would be a great disturbance to a lot of people to have another sun out there.
Sure.
You know, so it wouldn't get dark.
I agree. My
program, for example, wouldn't be the same if it didn't get dark.
Exactly. The thing that's fascinating is they call it Lucifer in the book, which was pretty interesting. I also sent you another email on Mount Graham, the telescope.
Yes.
And how I said that I feel that they are going to align themselves up with the scientists and say that, yes, it is evolution, and that we can see it also and try to deceive the church.
Well, the Pope has already made a statement saying that evolution is more than just a theory. Now, what does that imply to you? Evolution is more than a theory. It gives a weight to the argument for evolution. A lot of Catholics went, ooh, when he said that. How can the Pope possibly be saying that? Well, he's speaking for himself. But at other times when you talk to Catholics about the Pope, every word he utters is the word, right? west of the Rockies. You're on the air. Hello.
Mr. Eric Bell.
That's me, all right.
It is, sir. Let me turn my radio off here, man.
That's good.
Because I can hear you on there. It sounds like you're talking to somebody else.
That's because you have your radio on.
Oh, really? Okay.
Really?
Is that delayed? Hey.
Yes.
I call you in on a subject I'll get to in a minute. But I had an interesting phone call. I dialed a digit, a one digit wrong. And this lady comes on the phone as one of these exotic, you know, recordings and everything. They give
one of these sex lines, you mean?
Pardon me?
One of these sex lines?
Yeah.
So did you talk to her?
No. No, you know, it was a recording. They give a number. I thought, well, this is interesting. What the heck? Because I've been trying to get through to you for about, you know, an hour or two.
Well, it's a diversion if you can't get through, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. Anyways, this is a long phone number. I thought, well, heck, I'll try this out. And
you got about 30 seconds.
Okay, okay. Yeah. It's a long phone number and everything. And it ends up in a number in Israel.
Israel.
Yeah.
So
okay, and I called a phone company and everything, and I got on that and everything, and I, you know, I went through all that with them and says, well, you're calling Israel as that. Well, okay, that's, you know, interesting. And I realized what was going on, and I got
Well,
I kept trying to get a hold of you.
Sir, all right, well, now we're out of time at the top of the hour here, so give us another call, all right?
No.
Oh, yes.
All right, okay, all right. I'll keep trying.
Though. All right, thank you. See you later. Once again, here I am, top of the morning, everybody. I'll tell you an interesting phenomenon about talk radio. If you get a caller who obviously is a little disconnected, you know, not quite a full deck and all that, and you cut them short, people will email you and fax you and say, how can you be so rude to that person? If, on the other hand, you let them just ramble on, just to see if it really is going to go anywhere, people will send you email and faxes saying, how can you let that psychotic ramble on like that? So it doesn't matter which way you go. All right, back to it we go. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yes, sir. I'm calling from Michigan.
Welcome.
And I have one comment and three real quick questions.
All right.
I got John Hogue's book, The Millennium Book of Prophecy.
Yes.
Excellent book. Highly recommended.
All right.
And the first question is, didn't Robert Ghostwolf, I believe his name is, talk about January 23rd and March 23rd as two big days?
Yes, he did.
Okay. Second question, can reverse speech work in the third person, do you think?
No, I don't.
Okay.
No, I don't think so.
Now,
it has to come from the person expressing the emotions and the feelings.
Okay, I understand. And if you were having, last question, if you're having an out-of-body experience and for some reason your body got jarred or awakened, could you lose your soul or consciousness or whatever's out there? Could that be separated from you?
There are differing views on that. My own personal take on it is I would be afraid to try an out-of-body experience. I've been close.
Me too.
All right, thank you very much. That's my take, so I don't know. I admit I'm chicken. I've been close. I felt the beginning of the paralyzing feeling that you get, and I have always withdrawn very quickly from it. So I really can't answer that question. I suppose the fear I have is partially connected to that possibility. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
All right, good morning. I'm calling from Roswell.
Roswell, yes, sir.
I was wondering if you heard the latest theory coming out of New Mexico about the downing of TWA Flight 800.
What is it?
Well, a defense lab engineer at Sandia National Laboratory has proposed that it may have been a giant methane bubble.
A methane bubble?
Yes, sir. Vented from the ocean floor. He gave a sighting of a recent explosion in Australia. And I was wondering if maybe the picture that was taken with Jose Escamilla's rod next to it may have been, in fact, a methane bubble. I was just wondering what you thought about it.
That is an interesting theory. I will think about it, and I will talk to others about it. Basically, the ocean having gas.
Yep.
All right, thank you very much. I would suppose scientifically something like that is possible. I don't know. I have been doing a lot of thinking about that. What about that object that traversed the upper atmosphere at 1/100th the speed of light? What if something like that were to connect with an airplane in flight? I don't know. I suppose the NTSB is beginning to embrace some pretty wild theories because they have no absolute evidence yet. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Uncle Art.
Yes, sir.
I'll be darned. I'm grateful to get you. You got a great show.
Thank you.
This is Leo from L.A.
Yes, Leo.
Yeah, I got a couple of them for you here, a couple quickies real quick. Ed Daines is going to be on your show on the 30th, right?
Correctamundo.
Can you ask him this question? I've been keeping track of him on your show ever since I found you. You're just fabulous. He's going to be gone in 98, like he said. He's leaving in 2 years, and
yes.
His classes are sold out till 98.
Right.
So he's gone.
That's right.
Can you ask him if he's going to do a book or a transcript or some kind of a technical thing we can self-teach ourselves or learn more about remote viewing? Would that be possible for you to remember that or write that down?
I will ask.
That's great. One other question, because I know you got a lot of callers. I'm here at KABC land.
Right.
And you're number one. So
it's
why?
True.
Pardon me?
I said it's true.
Yeah, but why did they cut out the first hour? I'm really upset about it.
I understand.
I'm sure you've heard it. What can I do to try to, you know, fix that?
Well, nothing at present. There will be an announcement soon.
I shouldn't call the station or try to, you know, put some heat on their feet
or
something?
No, don't do that. Things have been worked out, but I just can't announce anything right now.
Well, you make it sound like it's going to be good, though. I mean, I want to hear you from the beginning to the end. I'm addicted.
Hang in there. There's news coming.
Well, thank you, sir, and I hope you don't get too wet tomorrow. There's a big rain coming here. It's been raining on and off all day.
I know.
You have a great one, and I hope your wife feels great.
Thank you, and take care. There was an adjustment made at KBC so that we could have a block of programming that runs from 9 o'clock at night through 4 o'clock in the morning. And I am bound to some silence at the moment about what will occur. So as soon as I know, as soon as I am told that I can tell you, I will. How's that? First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Art.
Yes.
My name's Thor. I bet you that I'm calling from a country to which you have pledged allegiance to, but you do not live there anymore.
Okay.
That country is the American Republic.
Okay.
Remember the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance
yes,
to the flag,
yes.
The Republic for which it stands?
Yes, I remember.
Well, what's happened is here's the answer. Remember a while back you had a question. Why can't we have more than one wife? And
yes.
Why is marijuana illegal?
Yes.
The answer to all those questions, Art, is in the Constitution. Okay?
Okay.
Now, they took the 14th Amendment, and really, now I understand why everybody seems so nervous when they finally get on the air. They took the Constitution, took the 14th Amendment, took the federal government, and gave them the power to create a corporation. Now, this corporation, they gave it the same name as the geographical area that we all live in. They called it the United States of America. And they spell United with a capital U. Now, United, as far as I know, is not a proper noun. Unless, of course, it's the name of a company or a person. And they have divided the United States up into 10 regions, which are identified by our zip codes, starting on the East Coast with 0, ending on the West Coast with 9. And all of these federal regions are full of subjects to the 14th Amendment. And anyone who is subject to the 14th Amendment of the United States the First through the Tenth Amendment does not apply to those people. You follow me?
Well, I hear you.
Okay. Well, you see, the 14th Amendment, they pretended like they were freeing the slaves. But what they did was they created a company and gave everyone an equal opportunity to join the company and get an employee ID number, i.e., Social Security number.
I have a question for you.
All righty.
You are presently speaking over several hundred radio stations.
Right.
That are federally licensed.
Yep.
You are exercising your First Amendment privilege.
Oh, sure.
Uh-huh.
Sure.
Well, so it would appear...
What they did, Art...
Excuse me.
Okay.
Let me finish.
All right.
It would appear that your First Amendment privilege remains intact.
It would appear so.
So it has not been invalidated.
It would appear so. It would appear so. And everything is actually a great hallucination that they have created. You see, they've given everyone who is subject to the 14th Amendment and the federal government of the United States, which is only supposed to have a 10-mile, you know, jurisdiction. Now, here's proof for you, Art. If you go into a courtroom for say, a violation of not wearing a seatbelt, and you see the American flag up behind the judge.
The fringe, right?
The gold fringe.
Gold fringe. All right.
That gold fringe is illegal according to Title IV of the United States Code.
All right. I appreciate your call, and I'm very, very, very familiar with all of your arguments. But in reality, the rights that you suggest you are not able to be part of right now, you are a part of. So it's like you answered yes to that, well, it would appear so, and just sort of kept on going. Why didn't that stop your argument? First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, I just discovered you not too long ago. Pretty entertaining radio program you have.
Thank you.
A little quirky at times. I imagine you feel the same way.
Intentionally that way, actually.
Oh, I see. I'm a big skeptic, really. I don't, haven't been a...
What are you skeptical of?
Oh, all of this fringe stuff, you know, from the UFOs to, more specifically, I'm more interested in the political...
Do you believe in God?
Yeah, possibly. I don't know. I really haven't put too much thought into it lately.
Really?
Yeah. But what I was wanting to talk about was there was a caller last hour, I believe, a woman who was asking you about a guest that you've had on before, and she seemed to be implying that this guest was one of those conspiracy theorists, I believe, and he does some sort of interpretation into political speeches. Am I correct in what I...
I'm not sure who you're referring to. Possibly David Oates, who does reverse speech. I'm not sure.
Oh, well, are you one of the types of people that think that there's this one-world conspiracy thing going on and it's threatening our Bill of Rights and stuff like that? You know what I mean?
I think that eventually there will be a one-world government, yes.
Well, what do you fear?
Nothing at all. I'm going to be an officer in it.
You are?
Yes. I'm going to be subjecting people like you to slavery, detention camps.
No, I believe
nothing of the sort. If you don't cooperate, then we are going to re-educate you, and if we can't re-educate you, then we're going to put you in chambers and liquidate you.
No, you're being sarcastic.
Yes, I am.
Okay, so you're not one of those that is a conspiracy...
No, I'm not.
Okay, that's good. I'll listen to your show more knowing that. you know, those people... really are just too bizarre for me to even lend an ear to. There's this other network that we had here in Kansas City, For the People or whatever.
Ah, yes.
And they're all full of that. There's some guy on late nights, I think. The station's no longer here. It was taken over, thank God. But just idiots. They'd have guests in, and I was the only one who called in with that offered up any dissent. And they were just totally shocked, and every caller from that point on responded to me. I even listened to the station the next morning where they had a completely different host, and they were talking about me. Like a group of just wackos that...
Well, look, right now, if you look at the global economy, it's clear that it is becoming more global by the moment.
I totally agree with that. And
economic change will precede political change, and eventually, there is going to be probably a one world order of some sort or another. Whether it'll come in our lifetimes or not, I don't know.
Sure, that may be the case, and there's nothing to fear there. For Christ's sake, this, look at the history of the world. We've been at war with one another since day one, and now that there's this big alliance, you know, the United Nations and NATO and so on and so forth, these nuts try to find something threatening in that, and it's just ludicrous. You know, do you want us to be at a perpetual state of war? That's absurd. And now that the countries are coming together and forming alliances, people got to find something threatening in that. It's just bizarre. And beyond that, there's this sort of preoccupation with and delight that they receive from suggesting that these things possibly exist, as if they would ever be able to prove it, and as if it's a threat to them and the freedoms that we enjoy here in the United States, which is totally absurd, and it's just an attempt to pass those on to other countries that right now are, you know.
All right, sir. I appreciate your call. It could be a threat, depending upon how it develops, or, which is less frequently considered, it could work out all right. Suppose there was a one-world organization eventually, in our distant future, that modeled itself after the freedoms that have worked so well for us. Is that not more likely than the other way around? I've always thought that myself. I'm Art Bell, and we will be right back. A little bit of the real thing. Cornish Sisters. This ought to get the blood going. 3:35 in the morning on the West Coast. Listen to this piano. I'll tell you, if I could play the piano like that, I wouldn't be a talk host. Hi, Art. Great stuff. When methane comes up under a ship, it drops straight to the bottom, shatters into a zillion pieces, leaves no trace. Same for planes. Probably the answer to the Bermuda Triangle and Lake Michigan. As for TWA, it fits better than the other three theories. I like it. That's from Basement John, who declares, give him a little time, and later tonight he intends to remote view the whole thing and report to us. This up. It's best of the Pointer Sisters. That'll get you going. Back to it. First time caller line. Call us toll free at 1-800-618-8255.
That's why I said it.
Ooh, I had to cut that out.
Again, I'm
not allowed to give your last name, no last name.
Yes, I know.
Give us your first name.
Enough.
Right, okay, so you know. What is your first name?
Vic.
Okay.
I'm from Las Vegas.
Yes, sir.
And I want to report on an article in Tuesday, January 21st, New York Times Science Section.
Okay.
And you would be very interested in it because it is a theory by some professors at the University of Washington in Seattle, and they're at Los Alamos right now, and it's about the they're measuring the force in a vacuum.
Yes, otherwise I believe known as zero-point energy.
Yes, but this is a little different, and they're extending it into many other fields. I could send this to you.
I'd be happy if you would. I think, though, that is what they're talking about, isn't it? 0 point?
No, they don't even mention that anyplace. They call it the measuring the force of universal flux.
Okay, well, that's 0 point. Other people call it 0 point.
Okay, yeah, it might be the same thing. And they're measuring it in what they call a foam,
mm-hmm.
a space foam.
Yep.
Okay, I need your box number.
Okay. Art Bell.
Yes.
P.O. Box 4755.
4755.
In Pahrump.
I go to Pahrump all the time. I have a friend that lives there.
All right. You know how to spell it then,
yes,
right?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Pahrump, Nevada. Zip code 89041-4755.
Okay. What's that complete zip now?
89041-4755.
Okay. Another thing about remote viewing.
Yes.
I tried it a couple times, and I've almost had out-of-body experiences, too, like you did, but I always chicken out when I get that electrical feeling and paralysis.
Yes.
I don't want to leave, so I come back. Anyway, I tried a couple experiments on the Flight 800,
uh-huh.
and I came up with an interior view of the plane, and... it was a missile, according to what I imagined. It might just be fancy. But I saw it clearly, and it was didn't go through the whole plane. It was stuck in the spars in the center tank, just like they, one of the theories.
Well,
and I saw the whole thing in color. I didn't see any passengers, though.
Huh. Well,
I'm a technical illustrator. I can illustrate the thing completely.
I can actually imagine it. I can conjure up that view in my mind.
The only problem is...
that there were no holes to indicate a missile penetrated the airplane. That's the problem.
Yeah. And it was lodged in one of the spars of the plane, but that could easily be dislodged by the explosion.
Well, wouldn't you think they would have found parts of the missile?
Not necessarily, because the missile was whole, and it was like a practice missile.
A practice missile. Well, yes, but it's... All right. Well, listen, thank you very much, but still, number one, they found no holes in the airplane to indicate penetration of that sort, and that's easily discernible by the way the metal would be bent inward because of the outside penetration. Number two, they found no parts from a missile. Or... if you're of a mind to imagine a conspiracy, they're covering it up. Whatever. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, this is Kenan.
All right.
And I heard you say earlier that life was just without coincidence. With coincidence? You restate that?
I recall discussing coincidences, yes.
Yeah, well, if you look up the definition of a conjunction, the second definition is coincidence, and the first would be astrological bodies within 7 degrees of each other. So all that is coincidence, the sum is just ignorance of the astrological plane.
Okay.
And it's just a comment.
All right, thank you. Not exactly sure what was said there. A wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, this is Eric in Wenatchee, listening to you on KPQ.
Yes, sir.
Four real quick things. Stephen Gibbs, maybe one of the reasons why a lot of people don't come back is maybe there's some type of, like, soul-sucker machine.
Maybe they don't want to come back.
Okay, the second thing. Did you see X-Files last week?
About Chupacabra?
No, this was about these two teenagers that got kidnapped, and it turned out the aliens that abducted them.
No.
I
didn't.
Oh. Well, it turned out the abductors were actually Air Force guys dressed up as aliens, and then they were abducted by another being that no one could figure out what it was.
Huh.
Okay, the third thing, the Raiders coach, do you have any idea who it'll be, who you'd like to see?
Not at this moment. I'm thinking about that, though.
Okay, and my final thing is, how do you get to the grassy knoll on AOL?
Just go in and enter, keyword, right?
Okay, yeah.
Just enter keyword Art Bell.
Okay.
All right?
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. And you will go to the Periscope area, and then Grassy Knoll is, you just click on that. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, hi. My name's Todd from Seattle.
Hey, Todd.
About the quickening and stuff, to me it seems like the whole system we have now, the whole economic and financial system and governmental system we have.
Todd, what kind of phone are you on?
A phone. I don't know, just a regular phone.
Do you have a light on above it?
Yeah.
Because it's full of hump.
Oh, well, I don't know.
Is it a portable phone?
Nope, it's just a regular home phone.
All right, let's try an experiment.
Okay.
Turn off that light.
Okay, hold on.
Just for grins.
How's that? It's still there?
It's still humming, yeah.
Yeah, I can barely hear you, too.
Very odd. All right, well, anyway.
All right, but anyhow, like the whole system that we have now, I think the quickening is like the Earth's way of getting rid of it. And, like, the end of the world won't be the end of the Earth, but just the end of this system that we have.
Well, effectively, for us, it's the end, right? In other words, if the world keeps going around and renews itself eventually, but we're not here to observe that, to us it has ended.
Unless we've changed with the Earth and it's become more natural,
right?
Like you want us to be.
Well, that will be the survivors.
Yeah. Are you a survivor?
You know, that's a very, very good question, and I don't know the answer at the moment. I really don't. Maybe not. Maybe I'm not a survivor of what is coming. I don't know. I don't know that I would want to be. But I reserve some time to think about that. But you are the first one to ask me that question, and I don't have a ready answer for you. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, how you doing there, Arbel?
All right.
Kirk in mucho, mucho rainy Northern California.
Yeah, I hear it's on the way.
Oh, no, it's raining like a storm blaster here.
Yep.
But, Art, there was a story here in the Northern California paper, San Jose Mercury, that was similar to yours. They broadcasted today on our local ABC affiliate, yesterday on our news broadcast, a story based on the U.S. forestry that there was a mountain lion problem by Sunset Beach.
Really?
And so, you know, the news broadcast, you know, they alerted, you know, everyone that there was sightings of cougars and mountain lions. And so tonight, day after the alert, they gave a retraction, stating that the affiliate that it was fraudulent, and that
there were no mountain lions.
That there was no mountain lion, and that they were going after the perpetrators
of the hoax.
It was a hoax, yeah, just like kind of your deal.
Hmm.
But you know, my point is the news company and also with the U.S. forestry, they were both combined. They were both going to go after them.
Well, good.
Well, my point is why isn't your radio company going after really the truth on this?
Well, because we have somebody who will not give us access to either the name of. In other words, we are pursuing what leads we have, but we're kind of stopped. What I would suggest to you is to read the statement by Courtney Brown. It's on my webpage, and without being given access to the additional physical evidence, and he will not allow that, we can't follow.
Yeah, I understand. You know, it just seems to me that, you know, it's a clear, you know, it's a clear cut. I mean, Courtney Brown came off as a professor at a college,
absolutely correct. I mean, that's why I... That's why I bought it and put it on the air in the first place.
Oh, exactly, and I would have put it on myself too. I mean, the thing is, Courtney Brown came off as very credible, and top ten astronomer in the United States, and collaborated. I would have put the same story on, and so you know, I'm just using a story here locally that was shown to be a fraud with a mountain lion alert here in
Florida. Well, now, we are a network, and we can investigate as a news organization would, but we cannot investigate officially as a government agency would. There is a difference.
Correct. But they were going to, you know, their intention is to find who did this and to press charges.
I understand. But there is no law that's broken by perpetrating a fraudulent image on a picture. There are ethical and moral violations, clearly, very serious ones.
Oh, I agree.
But not legal ones. So there is a difference.
I think. But,
okay,
real good.
Thank you. There are some very, very serious ethical and moral questions involved in this, but not legal ones, and that is an important distinction with reference to the context of the last conversation. First-time caller line, you're on the air.
Hello, this is Todd from Westport.
Hi.
I was calling about the aliens.
What aliens?
The aliens, we had a sighting here in Westport not too long ago. It was some friends of mine. We were at the beach, and we were having a bonfire and smoke circle.
Beach aliens?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Out here at the cove of Westport, we're like the closest beach town to Seattle, so most of the people from Seattle come here to surf.
Yes.
And,
they weren't surfing, were they?
No. No surfing anyway. Anyway, we were having our drum circle,
yes.
And we were playing.
Drum circle. You mean you were dancing?
No, drum circle. We were all playing drums.
I see, all right.
And having a fire. And there was, it was unbelievable. Out along the horizon, it first looked like a ship with really bright halogen lights facing to it. And it was just... unbelievable.
So what did they do?
Well, they came, and they kept on getting closer and closer, and they finally landed on the beach.
Near your drum beating?
Well, approximately 200 feet away from us.
Mm-hmm.
And
Sounds like you're having a hard time there.
Oh, I am. It just recently happened.
I see. So they landed, and the ramp of the ship came down.
No ramp at all.
No ramp? Did they jump down then?
No, they were down, completely down on the earth. And
I mean, how did they get out of the ship?
They climbed out of the top.
And then jumped?
No.
No?
No. They climbed, and then... Then they floated.
They floated?
Yeah, see, there is much need to climb, and they can float.
Cool. So they floated. Then what?
Well, they floated over to us and started talking about President Clinton, and they were really...
Did they mention Chelsea?
No. They're very
only the president.
Only the president. Very concerned. I mean, I don't think they have news very often. Very concerned about the zero tolerance plan.
The next 4 years?
Yeah, the next 4 years and that darn zero tolerance.
Zero tolerance.
Zero tolerance. Very angry about that.
You know what I thought when you first told me all this? Well, you hung up. I thought they were upset about your drums. You know, kind of like when somebody pulls up alongside your car with a loud a beat, as another caller said earlier. I thought they were kind of upset with your drum beating. But they were obviously beating the drums for something else. Wildcard line, you're on the air.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
This is Tom calling from Tucson.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I have a question. When you give up being king of the talk show circuit, and become involved in this New World Order, do you have an opening for a long-time listener as a member of your cabinet?
Well, I'll be considering that, of course. You've got to be absolutely ruthless. ready to subject the average citizen to horrible injustices at a moment's notice, to remove their civil rights and laugh as you do it, to put them in camps and re-educate them when they will not bow to our orders. Are you that kind of guy?
Well, that sounds pretty good to me. It sounds like a finance minister. I could handle that.
Yeah, you're my kind of guy. I mean, make an application. Send me a resume.
Okay, it sounds good. You know, I have an article here I got out of the Houston Chronicle.
Yes.
And it states that NASA's Galileo spacecraft has the first evidence of ice flows.
That's right.
On Europa.
That's correct.
And I don't know, it just seems a little strange that this is the first evidence mentioned when, you know, you have a guest that has mentioned this many, many times.
Richard Hoagland, actually, he mentioned that, and that was verified by Carl Sagan many years ago, sir. So that is a theory being confirmed, and one great checkmark for Richard Hoagland. There is no question about it. Listen, my program appears to be over. So from Beach Bongo Aliens to a good theory confirmed by Richard Hoagland, you get the honor. Say goodnight, America.
Thank you very much. For the King, goodnight, America.